ജയവൃഷ്ടാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശതശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം ലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ണ വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശിവൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തമോണി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് ഓം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദിഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപ ഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവന ധാമിക്ക് മായപൂർ ധാമിക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ് പുരി ധാമിക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസി ദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തി ദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ജോ പ്രേമനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി സൂപ്രീം ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി സൂപ്രീം ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി സൂപ്രീം ഡിവോട്ടീസ് All glories, all glories, Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. All glories, Shri Shri Prabhupada. Namam Shupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimade Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namini. Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschantya Deshadarine. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ
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 ഓം ജ്ഞാനതിമിരാന്ധസ്യ ജ്ഞാനാഞ്ജനശലാകയ ചക്ഷുർമിലിതം യേന തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരവേ നമഃ ശ്രീചൈതന്യമനോവിശ്വം സ്ഥാപിതം യേന ഭൂതലെ സ്വയം രൂപകദാ മഹ്യം ദദാതീയ സുപദാന്തികം വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരു ശ്രീയുതാപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരും വൈഷ്ണവാംശ്ച ശ്രീരൂപം സാഗ്രജാതം സഹഗണരഘുനാഥാന്വിതം തം സജീവം സദ്വൈതം സാവധൂതം പരീജനാസഹിതം കൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാ കൃഷ്ണപദാം സഹഗണലളിതം ശ്രീവിശാഖാന്വിതംശ്ച നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്തസ്വാമിനി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തി സിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി നാമിനി ശ്രീവർഷഭാനവി ദേവി ദൈതായ കൃപാഗ്രഹേ കൃഷ്ണ സംബന്ധ വിജ്ഞാനം ദായിനേ പ്രഭവേ നമഃ മാധുര്യോജ്വല പ്രേമാദ്യാ ശ്രീരൂപാനുഗ ഭക്തിദ ശ്രീ ഗൗരഗരുടാശക്തി വിഗ്രഹായ നമോസ്തുതേ നമസ്തേ ഗൗരവാണി ശ്രീ മൂർത്തയേ ദീനധാരിണി രൂപാനുഗ വിരുദ്ധാപസിദ്ധാന്തദ്വന്ദഹാരിണി നമോ ഗൗരകിഷോരായ സാക്ഷാത് വൈരാഗ്യമൂർത്തയേ വിപ്രലംബര സാംബോധേ പദാംബുജായ തേ നമഃ നമോ ഭക്തി വിനോദായ സച്ചിദാനന്ദ നാമിനേ ഗൗരശക്തി സ്വരൂപായ രൂപനുഗവരായതേ ഗൗരാവിമലഭൂമിസ്ത്വം നിർദ്ദേശാസ ജനപ്രിയ വൈഷ്ണവ സർവഭൗമ ശ്രീ ജഗന്നാഥായതേ നമ വഞ്ചയൽപദരുഭ്യശ്ച കൃപാസിന്ധുഭ്യേവ ച പതിതാനാം പാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമഃ നമോ മഹാവതന്യായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രേമ പ്രദായതേ കൃഷ്ണായ കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യനാമ്നേ ഗൗരദ്വിഷേ നമഃ പഞ്ചതത്വാത്മകം കൃഷ്ണം ഭക്തരൂപസ്വരൂപകം ഭക്താവതാരം ഭക്താഖ്യം നമാമി ഭക്തശാസ്ത്രീയം ഹേ കൃഷ്ണകരുണാ സിന്ധോ ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗൽപദേ ശോഭികാകാന്ത രാധാകാന്ത നമോസ്തുതേ ജയതം സുരതോ ഭംഗോ മമമന്ദമദേർഗതി മത്സർവസ്വതാം ഭോജോ രാധാ മദനമോഹനൌ ദിവ്യ വൃന്ദാരണ്യ കൽപദ്രുമാദ ശ്രീമന്ദരത്നാകര സിംഹാസനസ്ഥൗ ശ്രീ ശ്രീരക്താശീല ഗോവിന്ദ ദേവൌ പ്രേഷ്ടാവിഭി സേവ്യമാനൌ സ്മരാമി ശ്രീമന്ദ്രാസര സാരംഭി വംശീപദസ്ഥിത കർഷൻ വേണുസ്വനേ ഗോപേ ഗോപിനാഥ ശ്രീയേസ്തുനാഃ അർത്ഥകാഞ്ചന ഗൗരാണീ രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരി വൃഷഭാനുസ്വരേ ദേവി പ്രണമാമി ഹരിപ്രിയേ श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ओम पाथाय प्रतिबोधितं भगवतं नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितं पुराणमुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतं अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनीं अम्बत्वामनुसन्ददामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणीं नमोऽस्तु ते व्यासविशालबुद्धे पुलारविन्दायदवक्त्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारणतैलपूर्ण प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमय प्रदीप प्रपन्नमारिजाताय तोत्रवेत्रैकबाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दुग्धा गोपालनन्दन पार्थो वत्ससुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतम् अहत् वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनं देवदी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं भीष्मद्रोणघटाजयद्रथजला गान्धारनीलोल्पला शल्यग्राहवदी कृपेण वहिनी कर्णेन वेलाकुला अश्वत्थामा विकर्णघोरमकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सुतीर्ण खलु पाण्डवै नदीकैवर्तककेशव पाराशर्यवजःसरोजममलं गीतार्थगन्धोत्कटम् अनाख्यानयकेसरं हरिकथासम्बोधनाभोदितं लोकैः सज्जनशल्पतैरहरहपेदीयमानं मुदा भूयाद्भारतपङ्कजकलिमलप्रध्वंसिनश्रेयसे मोघं करोति वाचालं पङ्गं लङ्घयदे गिरिं यल्कृतात्महं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुदस्त्वन्वन्दिनिवेस्तवैर्वेदैर्सङ्गपदैर्क्रमोपनिषदैर्गायन्दियं समगाः ध्यानावस्थितद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्दियं योगिनो यस्यां तं विदुःसुरासुरगणे देवाय तस्मै नमः പുരുഷോത്തമ യോഗം വാട്ട് വി ആർ ഡിസ്കസിങ് ഊർധ്വമൂലം അധശാഖ അശ്വത്ഥം പ്രാഹോ അവ്യയം ഛന്ദാംസി യസ്യ വർണ്ണാനി യസ്ത്വം വേദസ വേദവിത് കൃഷ്ണ ഡിസ്ക്രൈബ്സ് അബൌട്ട് ദി അശ്വത്ഥ ട്രീ ഇസ്ന്റ് ഇറ്റ് ഇൻ ദി ഫസ്റ്റ് വേർഡ്സ് ദെൻ ദാറ്റ് ട്രീ അധശ്ച ഊർധ്വം പ്രസദാസ്തസ്യ ശാഖ ഗുണപ്രവൃദ്ധ വിഷയപ്രവാള അധശ്ച മൂലാനി അനുസന്ധതാനി കർമാനുബന്ധീനി മനുഷ്യലോകെ കൃഷ്ണൻ സേയിങ് ദെൻ ദി ബ്രാഞ്ചസ് ഓഫ് ദിസ് ട്രീ ഗോസ് അപ്വേർഡ്സ് ആൻഡ് ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് നറിഷ്ഡ് ബൈ ദി ത്രീ മോഡ്സ് ഓഫ് മെറ്റീരിയൽ നേച്ചർ ദേ ഗിവ് ലൈഫ് ടു ദിസ് ട്രീ വിച്ച് വൺ ദി ത്രീ മോഡ്സ് ഓഫ് നേച്ചർ സത്വഗുണം രജഗുണം തമോഗുണം അധശ്ച മൂലാനി അനുസന്ധതാനി ദി റൂട്സ് ഓഫ് ദ ട്രീ ക്യാൻ ഗോ ഓൾസോ ഗോ ഡൗൺവേർഡ്സ് കർമാനുബന്ധീനി മനുഷ്യലോകെ ബിക്കോസ് ഇറ്റ് ഡിപ്പെൻഡ്സ് ഓൺ ദി കർമ്മം ഹൗ ഇറ്റ് വർക്ക്സ് ദ ട്രീ വർക്ക്സ് ബേസ്ഡ് ഓൺ ദ കർമ്മം വാട്ട് വി പെർഫോം ഹിയർ ഡിപ്പെൻഡിങ് ഓൺ ദി കർമ്മം either you go upwards toward the higher planets due to pious activities, or due to sinful activities you go to the lower planets. That is why it's mentioned it can go upwards or downwards. It's a way of presenting it, the flow of the jiva's life changing from one plane to another plane, to higher planets, lower planets, or in the middle planets, depending on the karma. That's why finally Krishna is saying, karmani bandhini manishyaloke, karmam binds him to manishyalokam. Upper planetary system, lower planetary system, there is no karmam there. Karmam is performed only in the earthly planet. But the decision made here takes us to higher or lower planets. Decision what is made here in the middle planetary systems. After saying that, Krishna said that narubamasyeha tadova labhyate. Very difficult to know the rupam of this tree, and not because the tree itself we don't know when it started. Na andaha, na adihi, na ja sampravishtaha. Where is it staying, this tree, we don't know. It's just an imaginary tree in our imagination. But compared to a tree, our life in this world, our existence, material existence in other words. But the tree has to be cut off. Ashwathamenam suvirudhamulam. The only way to cut the tree off is asanga shastrena dradhena chitva. With a determined mind, asanga shastrena dradhena chitva. That with the power of ayagyam, one has to cut through this tree. There is no other way of killing that tree. After that, Krishna is saying, once that stage has come, then he is qualified for tadaparamdatparimargidavyam yasmin gata na nivartanti bhuyaha. He can inquire about that abode where he doesn't have to come back again from this material existence again. Yasmin gata na nivartanti bhuyaha. Once he goes there, he doesn't come back again. That is that stage. Tam eva chantyam purusham pravaddi yata pravarti prasada purani. First thing required is for that one has to surrender to one's own andaryami inside, and you have to take his shelter alone. That's the only way to free oneself from this state. And after saying that, in the next verse, Krishna said that a person who has come to that state, what it will be his state of existence? Mamana moha jitasanga dosha adhyatma nitya vinivritta kama dvandvair vimukta sukhadukha satmir gachandi amudha padam avyayam tat. So that five things what spoken in that verse. Mamana moha jitasanga dosha adhyatma nitya vinivritta kama dvandvair vimukta. These five things he has spoken there, that will be his state in the realized state. That will be his situation. It will be like that. He has to be like this. Otherwise he is not reached that state yet. That's what Krishna is saying here. And then Krishna also mentions in there that talpadam, what Krishna mentions there, gachandi amuda padam, that padam, nature of that padam is the next verse. Nthat bhasayade suryo na shishango na bhavaga yad gatva na nivartande tadhama paramamama. The main nature of that state is you don't come back to material existence again. Coming, going business has to come to an end. If you keep on accepting another body, then it has no meaning, isn't it? That you're coming back again and continue the whole cycle again. So that only if you get there that you don't have to come back again, Krishna says you are safe then. But if you do come back, then it means another body, another life again. Narad bhasayade suyu na shashanga na bhava. As mentioned there, that there's no sun, there's no moon, there's no stars there. But it is the abode by whose presence the sun, the moon and the stars shine. That's the interesting. In other words, you don't need the light from the sun. It itself is Atma on its own, is self-effulgent. On its own is self-effulgent. Then, after that, So there we are talking about Mujugunda last time. You can remember. We mentioned about Mujugunda. Mujugunda said to them, that to the demigods, that I just want to go and sleep, he said. If you first he asked for liberation from this cycle of birth and death. Demigod says to him that that is not in our control. We don't have the capacity to offer that to you. So it was then that Muchukunda said, thinking that I have been going through this cycle for such a long time, accepting different bodies and rejecting the bodies. In order to stop that to happen, what do I have to do? He realized that the only way I can come out of it, at least not to generate fresh bodies, by not involving in karma. Therefore, he asked for this choice. Put me to sleep, he said. At least I won't engage in creating fresh karma vasana by engaging in karma. That was his answer. So I mentioned there at that time that the ninth canto says about Muchukunda that he was a yogi all through his life. And he knows the things well. He is knowledgeable. He is not an ignorant person, Muchukunda. So, but he knew that some, although he has practiced yoga system, everything, there was something missing in his life. He was aware of that. Just like we have, just like a spelling mistake, he is not able to link it properly. Because it is at that time he says to Krishna that something is happening in his life, that every time I engage in the activity, then either sattugunam, rajogunam or tamogunam captures me and pulls me back into karma vasana again. So, as long as I allow my mind to go to any of the three modes, then I am in trouble. He says like that to him. So, therefore, this situation is not so good, says Muchukunda to Krishna. So, as long as if I get caught up in the mind or the senses or the intelligence, he says, then I cannot escape. I cannot escape. It's again back into the same problem. So that is why I said that in that earlier verse, what Krishna said in the 13th chapter, Jyotisham Abhidat Jyoti, isn't it? Jyotisham Abhidat Jyoti Tamasapparam Uchyate Yanam Yayam Yanagamyam Adi Sarvasya Dishtidam. So, till we come to the spiritual platform, this problem will remain. That if you are captured by the mind or captured by the intelligence or by the senses, it doesn't matter. Any of them, you still have the problem that you are under the modes of nature then. When you are under the influence of the body or the mind senses or the mind or the intelligence, where the three modes of material nature is present, which means if you fall into that, any of them, that means you are under the modes of nature. You are under the modes of nature. That's why if you look into Muchukunda's prayers, he will say, what binds me is these three modes of nature. Rajas, Samas, Sattva, Gunani, Bandhanam, he says. The bondage due to these three modes, I am unable to free myself, he says. So, till we free ourselves, that means when you say that freedom from modes of nature means freedom from the body, mind and the intelligence. Otherwise you can't free, because these are the places where the modes of nature is present, isn't it? So that is what is mentioned there. So therefore, Muchukunda asked this special mercy from Krishna. He said, put me onto that spiritual platform. Till I get there, I won't experience this. He wants realization. He doesn't want the intellectualization. He doesn't want the brain, he doesn't want the mind, emotional or intellectual realization he doesn't want. He wants the actual experience itself. That is what he said, that where is that? That is in the hrid. That is that, again Krishna is saying there, hrid sarvasya vishtidam, in the hrid, in the heart, isn't it? Hrid sarvasya vishtidam, and that is in the heart. Just like in the Bhagavad Gita, you can see other places also Krishna mentions that. That Ishvara Sarvabhudanam Hriddeshe Arjuna Tushtadi. Similarly, Sarvasya Jaham Hriddi Sanyivishto. And the same thing Krishna is saying here, Jnanam Yeyam Jnanagamyam Hriddi Sarvasya Tishtidam, in that 13th chapter verse. So, you can see from the way outside, Krishna is saying this repeatedly to us, that to come out of the mental, intellectual and sensual, level and come to the platform of the soul. Otherwise, this message won't come in to us. We won't get it. We keep on talking, big talk will go on, but nothing will happen. That is a sad thing. So, that is to be known and it has to be experienced. It has to be, it is the vastu, what Bhagavatam also says is vastu, isn't it? Vedyam vastu matra vastu shivadam. That is to be known through knowledge, but it has to be experienced. And that vastu, what Krishna is talking about, is known by different names. For example, we call it as jnapti, prajna, awareness, avabodham. All are different words used in the Bhagavatam for the same. And it is the same thing Krishna is using in this verse, avyayam padam. Avyayam padam. For example, suppose we inquire, who am I in the present state? And we continuously inquire through the inquiry process, the process of knowledge in other words, and your false ego has gone and dissolved in its source, where it come from. The source where awareness is coming, I am, it's the same source where false ego is also taking birth, the hrut. It's the same place where it is taking birth. So, when the ahangaram or false ego goes and dissolves there, the knowledge rishis are saying to us, when ahangaram dissolves, ahambodham will come. Till you have ahankaram, ahambodham will not be known. Ahambodham means this awareness. Ahankaram, ahambodham. Two sides of same comes from, both comes from Atma. Atma is changing its nature all the time. Sometimes it's ahankaram, sometimes it's ahambodham. We are always conscious of ahankaram, isn't it? False ego. So where it dissolves, when ahankaram completely dissolves, then aham bodham will come. And aham bodham is the one which is the background in which ahankaram is functioning. Like mind, intelligence, senses, they are all functioning under the background of aham bodham, awareness, which is present in Jagrat, Swapnam and Sushupti. So this aham bodham has got two plane again. One is what is Krishna calls us as Aksharam Brahma Purusha in the 8th chapter Krishna. Aksharam Brahma Paramam Sabhavam Adhyalpam Uchyate, Krishna says in the 8th chapter. That is at Akshara stage. And the second one is the Purushottama stage, which is spoken in this chapter. Aksharam was discussed in the 8th chapter. Purushottama is discussed in this 15th chapter. So, we'll see that later. First thing is that this Ahangaram has to go. There is no other way. Ahangaram has to go its source, where it comes from. And if you inquire about that, the ahankaram really doesn't exist. It's a false one, isn't it? It's a false one. They give the example like this onion. You know when onion, when you keep taking, peeling it off, there's nothing at the end, isn't it? It's something like that. You keep on peeling it off and finally you find there's nothing there inside. Similarly, inside there is nothing. Similarly, body, mind, intelligence, all these things, is manifesting through this form, and at the same time, when you inquire about all these things, none of them are real. Body is not real, mind is not real, intelligence is not real, and the ego is also not real. And similarly, and when ahankaram or false ego, where it goes and dissolves finally, that place is called avyayam padam. Avyayam padam. Why it is called avyayam padam is, in order to illuminate this thing, that place, you don't require a light or you don't require another power. Just like the awareness. Awareness is also coming from the same source. And another thing cannot illuminate that. For example, if there is a light already on, you don't need another light to see this light. Similarly, the source where it comes from, once you touch that source, become aware of that, then you don't require something else to show it to you. So bhode anya bhodascha bhode rupadaya atmanaha na deepasya anadeepascha yatha swalma prakashate. That is about that. Subhode Anyabhodesha. Because bodham, awareness, doesn't require something else to inform us. You are conscious of that all the time. Subhode Anyabhodesha. Bodharubhadaya Almanaha. So Alma or the soul is present in all of us in the form of bodham, awareness, isn't it? How is it? Na deepasya anya deepascha. If there is a deepam, a light there, you don't require another light to see this light. This light on its own has the illumination. Yatha so atma prakashane. In the same way, once you have realized the truth, atma will let you know. You will become conscious of that without the external help. So, you don't require another awareness. Similarly, Krishna is saying in that padam avyayam tat, he says it. This padam, this awareness place, that it can illuminate on its own, and because that awareness is there, Krishna is saying, this is the interesting thing, because an awareness is there, the sun is shining. In the sun is shining because the awareness is there. Moon is shining because of the awareness present there. And similarly, the stars also illuminating because of the awareness present there. In other words, awareness is the basis of everything. Atma bodham, in other words. And that is what Krishna mentioned in that verse. That verse is important. Which one? Natat bhasayade suryo. Exactly the same thing. Natat bhasayade suryo na shashango na pavaga yad gatvana nivartande taddhama paramam mama. Krishna is saying that if you have touched that basis of dhamam, the dhamam paramam dhamam, if you have touched that, you have touched the core, the real vastu inside. Otherwise, you are touching all the surface. You are not touching the basis. And due to the presence of that, sun, the moon, the stars, all shining because of the awareness. That's what... When you start looking at things completely from a matter, point of view of matter, then it all looks completely baffling, isn't it? How the sun is shining so long, moons and stars. So the stars are there for millions of years, these stars are going on. Krishna is saying, that's me. Actually, if you study Srimad Bhagavatam, this will get much more clearer. In the Bhagavatam, Krishna, in the Shiva Brahmarshi, first thing he told Parikshit is that this whole world is Krishna. That's how he is presenting it to them. It may, because everything has come from that Atma. Atma is the source from everything has come. After we complete these 18 chapters, when we go back to Srimad Bhagavatam, you will relish it much more than now. Because with the background of this Bhagavad Gita's philosophy, Bhagavatam will make more sense. It will be much easier to relate with Bhagavatam verses when we go through later on, after we finish these 18 chapters. You can see this, how this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita is reflecting through Bhagavatam all along, from beginning to end. Krishna says here that once you have reached that param padam, taddhama paramam mama, that paramam padam, you will never lose it. Nivartande, because that is what that means. Tadgatvan na nivartande, na nivartande. That means no more coming back. That means you don't lose it anymore. And all other yoga systems, there is a possibility of losing it. Possibility of losing it. In Yoga Vasishtam, Vasishtha Maharshi says this, Sarva peva kala jando va anabhyasena nashyati. All other arts, if you don't practice it, you can lose it, your expertise, isn't it? That is the nature of all the arts. So, this kala, he says, yet jnana kala agrat sagrat jada abhivardhade. This jnana kala, once jnana kala, Krishna also uses the same word in the Bhagavatam, jnana kala. Jnana kala, he says here, once it has illuminated, even if you want to get rid of it, it won't go. That is the way this thing works, self-realization works. That once you have realized that truth, then it is impossible for you to fall back from that to our present state, what we are in today, in the modes of nature. So, because sagrajada abhivardhade, it keeps on increasing it, it never decreases it. So, because it is, in this at that stage your ahankaram, false ego has completely wiped out, has gone away from inside. And vastujnanam means if the realization of the vastu, atma, soul has happened, in that case it will keep on increasing. Taddhama paramam mama, and that is Krishna's abode. This is how Krishna talks about his own abode in the Bhagavad Gita. So, because you have found that truth within yourself, that's the most important thing. Within yourself, you have found that truth. In other words, that is when you realize that your Sarupam is Krishna. Sarupam is Krishna's Sarupam. Krishna is Atma. Krishna's Sarupam is our Atma. Our Atma. And that realization is the one which you will never lose again. Permanent it is then. Once it is realized as Antaryami inside as Krishna Swarupam, Krishna is present in everyone's heart. If we realize that, each one of us, then that is a realization which you will never lose. All other realization, including the deity, personal form, everything, you can lose it. It'll come, it'll go. It's no, you can see in the Bhagavatam examples, Dhruva and Narada Maharshi and all that mentions this, is it not? So that type of realization, this kind of realization is the one Krishna has spoken in this verse. Not the realization of seeing Krishna as a person outside, separately from me. That's not what Krishna has spoken. Krishna is talking about that realization from where you won't fall again. Na tad bhasayade suryo, na shashango, na pavaka. That type of realization where you don't lose again, miss again, where you lose that realization again. That is why many realized souls, they give importance to this, because if you realize something, it should stay, isn't it? If you are losing it again, then it is not a very great realization. For example, like Dhruva Maharaj had this experience. In the Bhagavatam you can see that finally he complains Krishna is gone now. Krishna has disappeared. He's saying. So this is the perfect realization Krishna is talking about in the Bhagavad Gita. What is this? Nathat bhasayade suryo, na shashango, na pavaga, yadgatva na nivartande. If you come out of it again and you lose it, then that's not... Krishna doesn't consider that as the perfection. Perfection is this. Yadgatva na nivartande taddhama paramam mama. That is my abode, Krishna says. That is my perfect realization. Which means that Antaryami inside me, I have to realize. And that Antaryami is Krishna. That realization has to come to me. Then my realization is perfect. This is what Krishna is saying in this verse. After saying this, Krishna is coming down to the lower level. Arjuna is asking a question. You have mentioned that about this illumination, Paramaprakasham, he mentions there. So many words Krishna has used in the previous verses. But inside me, Arjuna is saying, I have got a mind and I am thinking I am a jiva. I am a jiva, this thing, isn't it? So, not only that, I have attachment towards my senses. I have got a body as well. And because of all these things, am I not a very sinful person? Because instead of being situated in the platform of realizing the Antaryami, Krishna inside, Arjuna is, because this is on a lower level, Arjuna is asking this question, that I am now at the moment in identification with the mind, intelligence, senses, body, and all other things. And not only that, due to senses, I have attachment, aversion, everything. And am I not a sinful person that I have all these things caught with me? And have I not done something wrong that I have been in this situation? This was Arjuna's question. In the next verse, you will see this, how it is reflected. So, Krishna is saying to Arjuna at that time, in the next verse you will see, that's the answer. Because these doubts came to Arjuna's mind when Krishna spoke this. He says to Arjuna, nobody is sinful in this. Nobody is. Krishna is always speaking from the platform of the soul. Where is the sin? Where is the sinful reaction? Where is everything? He says here, even if you consider that you are a jiva, even if you consider you are a jiva, even then, no jiva is really sinful in the sense, here, Krishna's point of view is, except me, nothing exists. Atma alone exists in the whole creation, everywhere. Isn't it? And even if somebody says that you are this, you are that, you are sinful or anything, if you analyze it, good or bad, all these things, actually, you are evaluating me, Krishna is saying. If you are evaluating someone, gunadosha nirubanam, it's called. Gunadosha nirubanam, it means something is good, something is bad. We are evaluating all the time in this world. Krishna is saying to us that even if you do that, actually you are evaluating me, because as far as I am concerned, only me exists. Nothing else exists here. Nothing else exists here. So, so what is this thing called jiva? This is the question, isn't it? See, we are now thinking we are all jiva, we are all suffering, we will be like this forever. One day, somehow or the other, we will escape from here by the grace or kripa of Guru and Krishna and all that. We have been drilled into our mind in that way. And we are holding on to that waiting for that one day to come. Krishna is saying that situation hasn't happened actually. It's only this ajnanam inside has to go, that's all. What is point is that if you consider yourself as a jiva, then you are actually, as far as I am concerned, it's only me who exists here. Everything, it's me. Beginning of Bhagavadam is like that. If you remember, what did Shukha Brahmarshi say to Parikshit first? First he said, see Krishna in the sthula form, in the gross form. If you look into the second canto, you will see the first thing, while the rishis, thousands of rishis were present there in the assembly. Parikshit Maharaj sat there. Shukha Brahmarshi came in and he wanted to speak Srimad Bhagavatam to him. Shukha Brahmarshi didn't take Srimad Bhagavatam first. He is an Upanishads man. Upanishad realization he has. But his father, Vedavyasa Maharshi, was attached to Srimad Bhagavatam. So what he did was, he divided the Vedam into four, handed them over to four disciples, Pailan, Jaimini, Sumandhu and Atharva. And then Mahabharatam he gave it to another disciple. And then Srimad Bhagavatam he kept to himself because he used to like Bhagavatam. And this Bhagavatam has some speciality. Shukha Brahmarshi says, I was not particularly attracted to Bhagavatam. But my father came up to me and started reading Bhagavatam to me. I got attracted to Bhagavatam and I told him to give me instructions on Bhagavatam. He gave me Bhagavatam, he says. This is how he puts in the second canto. And then he says that I will speak Srimad Bhagavatam to you. You listen to Bhagavatam, he said. And hearing this Srimad Bhagavatam, this is a new process which Sukadeva Goswami has started, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. From that, how to free yourself from this material life existence. So it is there that he says, the beginning, he said, about God, many people have so many conceptions, but let me tell you what it is that this is the whole creation is God. That's how he begins. All creation is God, he said. And that he, to emphasize that, he took the Vedic and the Upanishads support, which is in the form of Purusha Suktam prayers. Purusha Suktam prayers has come like that, which is from the Vedam. It's come from the Vedam, which he spoke to him. That. We'll discuss that when you come to the second canto later sometime. So there, the Rishi's concept is, the whole creation is Krishna. Nothing else exists here except Krishna. So if you are create, and when we say gunam dosham, this is good, this is bad, actually what are we doing? We are evaluating Krishna. Isn't it? Yeah? Evaluating Krishna. So jiva is one like that. You see, we say jiva, we have become jiva. Now, from the Bhagavad Gita's point of view, jiva actually has no permanent existence as such. Why? Because it is bhūdam, jiva bhūdam. That means ātmā has become jiva. Has become jiva. Just like ātmā can become brahmam also. That's why it's called brahma bhūdam. Remember? Brahma bhūda prasanna ātmā. There is a verse there. Just like ātmā can become brahmam, ātmā can become jiva also. It's all a state in which it is. But vastu is ātmā. It doesn't change. ātmā becomes brahma bhūdam. ātmā becomes jiva bhūdam. But it is ātmā still. It is still ātmā, the soul. So it is with that, what is jiva? The answer to that, that's the next words. Look at that. Mamaivamsho jiva loke.
Mamaivamsho jiva loke.
Jiva bhuta sanatanam.
Jiva bhuta sanatanam.
Manashashtani indriyani.
Manashashtani indriyani.
Prakrtistani karshati.
Prakrtistani karshati.
Mamaivamsho jiva loke.
Mamaivamsho jiva loke.
Jiva bhuta sanatanam.
Jiva bhuta sanatanam.
Manashashtani indriyani.
Manashashtani indriyani.
Prakrtistani karshati.
Prakrtistani karshati.
This is an important verse because this verse creates a lot of difficulties for people, isn't it? This particular verse. Mamaivamsho jiva loke. Many people take this verse and start arguing about it, saying that how can you say that we are ātmā, we are jiva. Mamaivamsho jiva loke. Krishna is saying, Mamaivamsho jiva loke. If you analyze this verse properly, jiva bhuta sanatanaha manashashtan indriyani prakritistani karshati. Look at that words, we'll see. So here, jiva bhuta sanatanaha prakritistani karshati. Jiva bhutaha. Jiva bhutaha means something that has become jiva. That has become jiva. And those things which has become jiva, Krishna is saying, mamaiva amshaha. They are my amsham. All the jivas in the creation is my amsham. Is it? My amsham. What does amshaha means? Amshaha means, amsham actually means part, isn't it? So does that mean Krishna's body pieces were cut off and we all come out like that, in that way? So this amsham, Krishna is saying here, every jiva is my amsham. Every jiva is my amsham. So there is one jiva, jivi we call them. It's a single cell jivi. Only one ega kosha jivi. It's called single cell jivi. You will see underneath the ground sometimes. If you cut that, it will become two. And both has got life. Some of them you can see underneath the ground. What is it? Like a earthworm. Earthworm. Amoeba is also another one. But the normally underneath the ground you find them, isn't it? So, what do you mean by that? If you cut them into two, that means there is two jiva, isn't it? There is two jiva. So, will each of the jiva will say, now we have become two jivas? If you cut that worm into two, what has happened now to the jiva? We have cut the jiva into two and the two jivas will say, look, I am a jiva. Another one also says, I am a jiva. So there's two jivas then, isn't it? So you can see here that like they do in some places, especially in the temples, what they do, they decorate the temple. There's one lamp burning. All around, they'll keep lamps, mirrors to reflect this one lamp. So when you look, you will see so many lamps burning. One place, isn't it? So, but there's only one lamp which is burning. There's not hundreds otherwise. But it's reflecting in so many different mirrors. Different mirrors it's reflecting. A young child, a little child, who was sitting with the mother, looked into the mirror and says to the mother, this baby is saying to the mother, there is another child in the mirror. The baby is saying to the mother, and he looks like me. The baby is saying to the mother, looks like me, he said. And then the child wanted to touch that baby in the mirror. So put the hands in and press the mirror. And mirror fell off and broke into pieces. And then baby looked into the mirror pieces, and everywhere he saw one baby in each mirror. He started seeing a baby in each of the mirror. So when Krishna is saying Amsha Bhudaha, this is how you have to accept, understand that word Amsham. Otherwise, there will be a lot of problems. You can see, when the mirror broke into two, there is two babies. We broke into four or five pieces, there are four or five babies existing there. So, when Krishna is saying, Mamayuvamsho Jiva Loke, this Jiva Lokam and Krishna, that relationship, is an interesting relationship. That scientists are saying, in one small particle, the whole principle of creation is present. They are experimenting with that, isn't it? So, and they also say this atomic science, that's how it has come about, that atom has got the capacity to reveal the whole science of creation. That is how they are experimenting with, isn't it? So, here when Krishna is saying, it is not the way we take it, like for example, Mamayuvamsho Jiva Loke, it is not the way that we have cut Krishna into pieces and we have all come about in the way we are here. Because Amsham means, he says here, Manashashtan Indriyani Prakritisthani Karshati. Practically what's happening, that is why in the next two lines he's saying there straight away, Manashashtan Indriyani Prakritisthani Karshati, which means that this Chaitanyam, the living force, it appears as though that it is caught up in a particular body. That Chaitanyam is Akhandam. Akhandam means what? Unbroken. It cannot be broken. It's only one Chaitanyam there present. But what's happening now is, it appears as though that it's been broken and caught up in so many different bodies like all of us. This is the way that relationship is. It has to be like that, because otherwise there will be a lot of things. You're completely going against the Upanishad's Siddhantam then. You'll go against it. So, so for everyone, we think that we are a jiva, we are a jiva. Initially in spiritual life when we come to, that is how I start my spiritual life. I am a jiva. From that concept, I'll begin my spiritual life. So you can see one famous sannyasi spoke about Jnana Yogam, and he spoke about Raja Yogam and many other yoga system he spoke. So, he was talking about various yoga processes spoken in the Upanishads and the Bhagavad Gita. He was talking about that. And then he said finally that I am now going to talk to you about the most interesting yoga system which I like, but you may not like it, he said, when he said this to them. But that is not important thing for me, whether you like it or not, he said, because truth is something that is more important than anything else. And he said like this, he said that it is that same Purna Vastu, what I am talking about, is what is present in all of you. He put it like that to them. And realizing that Purna Vastu, he said, people find that a little bit difficult. We like to think that God is far away from us. We have no connection with Him, and we want to realize Him sometimes later. So, just like He said when Tattvamasi was spoken, Tattvamasi, I am that, that why did this happen? That if I tell you, He said, that suppose you are all elephants, will you start thinking that you have got the trunk and the tusks, everything? Similarly, we have somehow or the other, due to this identification with the human body, which is so strong, deeply embedded inside us, therefore what's happening is, when somebody says to you that you have not this body, it becomes very difficult to switch from the human form into the unbroken form of the spirit. When somebody says to us that we are not this body, we find it difficult to give it up, isn't it? Why? Because in this body we are comfortable. We are thinking that I am limited to this body. I cannot have, and I am separate from everything else. I am completely independent from everything. But Shastra Upanishad is telling us that you are not. Actually what you are is this Akhanda Chaitanyam. That means unbroken spirit, Brahmam. That is what is inside, what is us. But this body, mind, intelligence, this is all come upon that Chaitanyam, and in a particular form it's moving in this world, Namarupam, as it is called. So, even though when we talk about all these things, even if we cannot understand in the mind, or intellectually it cannot be accepted, something inside us is saying to us that what is this thing, that I must have some connection with something else. I can't be like this forever. That means if I finish with this body, is it all over then? If I am a jiva, if this body die, what happens then to this jiva, so-called jiva? If you say that, if I am a jiva, always separate, then you have to question the second chapter. In second chapter, Krishna is saying that there is no thing called a death for the soul. Immediately after that, Krishna said, this qualification of transmigration, even rebirth and everything, is only valid as long as you are accepting this jiva status. Only for that the rebirth is, not in the Atma status. Atma status, there is no rebirth, only Atma exists. In the jiva state, rebirth exists, and transmigration of the soul and things like that, everything exists. Karma exists, and all the emotions exist, birth, death, old age, disease exist. This is all when you are taking into account into the jiva characteristics, in the jiva state. But if you come to the Atma state, none of them has any significance. That is the second chapter is telling us. Now, in this chapter, Krishna is saying, Mamaivamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manashashtan indriyani prakritistani karshati. He says here that as long as your mind is functioning, intelligence is functioning, body is functioning, and you are always in this concept that I am this body, then all these things affect. Jiva is also like that. But I am not the body, I am not the mind, I am not the intelligence. And I am not the jiva either. I am not the jiva. Jiva status come to me because of all these things, my intelligence and ego. Once they gone away from me, the jiva state also cannot exist in me. This is the argument of the Advaita philosophy. So it was at that time that when he mentioned, the sannyasi mentioned this, people started seeing it very difficult to come to agree with it, isn't it? So, because most of the people like this to think that what they are used to thinking in a particular way, that he said that you are trying to hypnotize us by saying this. So, he says to him, no child, there is no need for me to hypnotize you. You are already hypnotized. Maya has already done that. That was his answer. Because Maya makes us all these things. Three modes of nature, identification with the body, mind, intelligence, ego. All this Maya has already done. So Maya has done most of the work. Now there is nothing. We are trying to free ourselves from Maya. And Jiva concept is also a part of this Maya's process. So, so you can see here, this body, mind, intelligence, male, female, Ragam, Dvesham, And so many things like that. They call this as Adhyarobam. Adhyarobam means that this Adhyarobam is the one that makes that Supreme Consciousness, makes it to appear, experience as though they are individual, independent consciousness, broken. Supreme Consciousness, which is unbroken, Akhanda Chaitanyam, that is, that appears as though to us as individual, independent, broken consciousness. We all experience. You see, when we talked about Shukha Brahmarshi, is mentioned there, Tam Sarvabhuta Hridayam Muni Manatosmi, isn't it? He has come to that stage that he is always speaking from that. That example itself is to show to us when Vedavyasa Maharshi called Putra Putra, the trees and the creepers have answered, calling the, on behalf of Shukha Brahmarshi, to show to us that I am present in all of them. He has come to that state. I am present in everyone. I am present in everyone. Where is the problem? That was his answer to the Vedavyas. Shows that he was on a much higher level that he was saying. So here also, that the two examples in the Bhagavatam, you can look at it this way, that sky in the pot and big sky. Ghatakasham, Mathakasham. So, the big sky, when it entered into the pot, it became a small sky. The sky inside the pot, it has become. Isn't it? Similarly, Brahman, which is present all over, when it entered into your body, we start thinking it's a jiva. We start thinking it's a jiva. So, and to that jiva, if you talk about this Brahman, it won't get it. It cannot get it. It cannot understand or it cannot comprehend that. It cannot comprehend. Big sky exists and the sky exists in the small pot also. Now when we talk about the sky inside the pot and the big sky outside, they are two different, we feel. But actually there is no difference. There is only one sky space exists, isn't it? Similarly, here, Brahman is present everywhere. Everything is Brahman. Sarvam Kalidam Brahma. Upanishad says everything is Brahman. Nothing exists outside Brahman. And that Brahman is inside this body also. So when it is inside the body, we call it as Jiva. We call it as Jiva. Thus, space was never broken. Even though it was inside the pot, it was never broken. And that is inside the pot, outside the pot. And when the pot is broken, the space remains as it is. As it is. Isn't it? So, but for vyavaharam, for transactions in this world, we will say the space inside the pot, the space outside the pot. But actually, there is no joining or there is no separation. There is no joining or there is no separation. There is no joining or there is no separation. Similarly, Jiva Bodaha. That is what is the connection between Jiva and Atma. Jiva and Atma. Appears as though in the form of Jiva inside us. Appears like that to us. So, Krishna says here, what all the Jiva feels? Jiva feels Manashashtan Indriyani Prakritistani Karshari. That is Jiva's experience. Only Jiva experiences that. He says here that six of them, five senses plus the mind, which is also called a sense in other words. So 5 plus 1, 6. Manasa Shashtan Indriyani Prakritistani Karshari. The five senses talking about Shabdam, Sparsham, Rupam, Rasam, Gandham. Smell, sound, smell, touch, taste and form. So, this subject, Shastram has discussed a lot about this issue of this verse. Mamai vamsho jiva loge jiva bhuta sanatana manashashtan indriyani prakadisthani karshadi. So, from the Upanishad's point of view, Upanishad says to us that jiva is like this, that Brahmam inside the body, when you feel, you call it as separately jiva. But in reality, when that bodily identity is lost, jivatvam also gone. Once you lose your bodily identity, then there is no more jivatvam anymore after that. So, it is from this point of view, Krishna is mentioning here, that mind is considered as a sense here, plus other five senses, they are all just the holes in the body. And it is through holes what comes out is the mind. Mind is the one that comes out, isn't it? So, mind is the dwari, indriyam is the dwaram, or the holes. So, with these six senses, that unbroken living force, Atma, that has become a jiva. Only it is a, how to put it properly, it's not a permanent situation, it's a temporary state in which, because of this presence inside the body, we address it like a jiva. But, for example, if I say now, when I say I am, it means I am this body. It's on the bodily level I am saying, isn't it? So, what do I know about this body? In the body I am seeing things, I am hearing things, I am tasting things, I am smelling things, I am touching things. So, these five things, which is through the senses I am experiencing, this is my world, is it not? At the moment my world is that. So, we are saying that this world is the truth. World is the truth, isn't it? Because I am hearing, I am listening, I am seeing, I am smelling. And but this life, what I am talking about, even the plants and the trees have got, they also have it. But the way they are experiencing the world is different than the way I am experiencing the world. This is the important thing. Because they don't have all the five senses like what we have got. They have got probably three senses or two senses, isn't it? Mainly they have got touch sense, sense of touch. That's what they have got. So, and that means their world will be different than our world, isn't it? Their world will be different than our world. For animals' world, for example, if you take, their world is different than our world. Human world is another world. And similarly, demigod's world is different. Gandharva's world is different. Each of the species, their world is different. And that's mainly due to the different kinds of senses we have. Completely senses and the mind determines our world. Nothing else. The senses and the mind determines the world we live. Because we have these five senses and we have the mind, we experience the world. And we are thinking that everyone is seeing the world in the same way. They don't, isn't it? For animals, they don't see the world in the same way. That is why they experience in a different way. They don't have entertainment like us. We have got a huge entertainment industry, television and things like that. And they are still peaceful without all that. As long as they get their food and a place to sleep, and they are more or less satisfied with that. Their instincts are only demanding that much. Whereas we don't seem to be satisfied with that. Why? Because our world is different. So, which one is the correct world? Whose world is the right world? That question will come, is it not? That question will come. So, in other words, the world depends on these two things, mind and the senses. Senses and the mind decides the world where you live. Some of them don't have the mind, some of the living entities. They only have the senses and according to sense perception they live in this world. So, but here in this world, in our world, human species, in their world, it is what the fact is that the experience what we all have is truth. There is no question about that. And it is equal to all of them. So, if you look into the other species, like the plants and the trees, or the worms, or the other animals, or like us who have got all the five senses, what is that we all of us have in common? The one thing what we have in common is that we are experiencing, they are also experiencing, but it turns into five different ways in our case. In their case, probably in one or two different ways. Because they don't have the same five senses like we have. You see, experience is same. All of us have experience. The plant has experience, animals have experience, we have experience. But when the experience comes to us, it branches off into five forms in our case. Because of the five senses. They may not have five senses, they may have two or three, depending on that. Their experience will be in that. But experience is there. Experience is there. The trees also experience, the plants experience, similarly animals experience. They all have experience. But experience turns into different kinds depending on the senses. Depending on the senses. That's the most important thing to remember. What's important is, this is a little bit more in a depth if you look at it. This is how you have to see it. Rishi is seeing things in a particular way. They are looking at things in a different way. Not the way science looks at it. What Rishis are saying to us is that you are saying, holding on to this world and saying it's the truth, it's the truth, it's the truth. Which world is the truth? That is their question to us. You are experiencing one world based on the number of senses you have in the mind. Is it not? You say, and animals are experiencing a world according to their senses and their mind, whatever they have got, experience level. Experience is true, everybody has. Trees has got experience, animals have got experience, aquatics have experience, birds have got experience, we have also got experience. Experience is there, everybody. But the way that experience happens in us is different. The effect of the experience in us is different, isn't it? We, because we have five senses, in five different ways we experience that. The birds won't experience the same way like we experience this world. Aquatics, they don't experience the world the same way we experience the world. They are underneath the water all the time. For them, all what is going on in the sky or in the Himalayas won't matter to them much. What's going on in the underworld is important for them. Is it not? So, they are also experiencing the world, but they experience according to their senses and their mind, whatever they have. Similarly, if you look at the animals also, what's their world? It's not our world. It's their world. Is it not? They have, for example, python. Python is lying down there, waiting for the food to come. Krishna has given the body like that. And Krishna has made sure that it will get its food. So at the right time, the food comes in front of the python. Python catches the food and eats that. Doesn't go around hunting all over the world. There's no energy crisis, nothing for the python. So everybody's world is different. Everyone's world is different, is it not? So that is what Krishna is saying here. Try to see these words in a little deeper level. Otherwise, if you simply take the outside meaning all the time and say, oh, here Krishna is saying, Mama Yamsha Jiva Loke Jiva Sana, so he must be separate. That's not argument. This is not how you study philosophy. If you go into philosophy, you go into deeper level into it. And see why Krishna is saying here. Very fact that Krishna is saying, Manashashtan Indriyani Prakritisthani Karshati. He said the very two lines immediately after about Jiva Lokam. After saying, Mama Yamsha Jiva Loke Jiva. We must understand this, that Jiva Bhudam is like Brahma Bhudam. Vastu is Atma. Atma means spirit, soul. Soul, Bodham, consciousness. That's only Vastu here. That becomes Brahmam, which we call Brahma Bhuda Prasanna Atma. When it becomes Jiva, it goes Jiva Bhudam. That's all it is. Manashashtan Indriyani Prakritisthani Karshadi. What is happening to us is that when we come under the grip of these five senses and the mind, then Prakritisthani Karshadi, we are under the control of Prakriti then. We are under the control of Prakriti. That's all it is saying. Nothing more than that. The same consciousness, when it comes under the control of mind and the senses, it has become jiva. Prakritisthani karshati. And that means you are under the control of prakriti. Prakriti. Once you are released from the prakriti, that means from the three modes of material nature, if you are released, that means you are released from the influence of the five senses as well as the mind. You are back into, again into your Brahma Buddha state, Brahman state. It comes back to it again. It is keep on changing all the time. But prakriti, jiva bhudam, brahma bhudam, these are all different existence of the same consciousness that exist in that way. So here, so real nature of us is Satchidanandam, isn't it? Satchidanandam is the nature of the soul. So it is only in the in this case, for example, let it break up into 5 or 6 or 3 or 2, whichever, depending on the number of senses. But experiencing it, asti bhadi priyam, Krishna mentioned that before also, that is the truth, that is satachita anandam, that is the true nature of that consciousness. Consciousness by its nature is satachita and anandam. The difference is happening due to namarupam. When namarupam changes, we feel the differences. Difference is only due to namarupam. If it is a worm, if it's a cow, it's a dog, namarupam is changing. Namarupam is changing. Experience cannot change. It's a namarupam that is changing. So this satta chitta anandam, which is present in all of us, is present in the dog, is present in the cat, it's present in the cow, it's present in the tree. Satya Chitta Anandam. That part of it is same for everyone. It doesn't change. What is changing is, as Krishna is saying here, that Namam and Rupam is changing. Namam and Rupam is changing. So, what has happened now is that this Satchidananda Vastu, Atma, which is present in all of us, it has put this garb of mind outside. It has put a cover of the mind. Isn't it? So, when the mind has come, what happened? I started identifying with the body. Initially, that Satchitta Anandam Vastu inside me, when it got the mind, I started identifying with the body. Mind is the first thing. As soon as the mind was born, because there must have been a reason why I got a human body. Why I didn't get a human body, I must have developed certain desires in me. So naturally, the mind was born with those desires, and along with that, a human body was given. Human body was given from the mind, that human body was born. So, when I see that unlimited vastu chaitanyam, when it is reflecting in the mind, that's what Krishna is saying, jiva bodha sanatanaha. Jiva bodha sanatanaha. Jiva bodha. Jiva Buddha, he is a jiva when it is reflecting in the mind. When the chaitanya means that atma, consciousness, when it is reflecting in the chit, when it is reflecting in the chit, that means my vasana, the plate of vasanas in me, then I become this human form. I develop this consciousness, jiva Buddha. Jiva state comes to me. Why did he say sanatanaha? Krishna said that. Dvaitis like that word, sanatanaha. Because they will always quote this verse to prove their point. Amsham, Krishna said amsham first. Then he said jiva bhuta. And now Krishna says sanatana. Three words in that. Mamai vamsho jiva loke, jiva bhuta sanatanaha. Three things Krishna has spoken there. Isn't it? Now, if you just only study language, this is what will happen. This is what they give the example like this. A fox managed to get one tortoise. Somehow or the other, it found a tortoise. And it didn't know what to do with the tortoise. Kept on playing with the tortoise. Because tortoise, what will tortoise do? It pulls its shell all over. And fox cannot access the tortoise.
if you only study language and start studying Bhagavad Gita, it will end up like this. The fox and the tortoise. That's the example they give for that. Because Adhyatma Shastram, spiritual life, is a whole science. Rishis have gone very deeper into it and started explaining things from a much deeper level than what we can even envisage from our position. They are speaking from a completely different level. And unless we go down in that way, we will not get the... We will simply take the words. This is the biggest problem. When you start just picking up words and start saying that this is it what Krishna is saying, then you will end up nowhere. You will end up nowhere. You have to make sure when you are saying something from Bhagavad Gita, it doesn't contradict with anything else in the Bhagavad Gita. Gita Shastram it is. That's why it's called Gita Shastram. If it is contradicting with something else, somewhere else, then that means you will have a problem. You are not able to accept what Krishna is saying then. It's all contradictions then. There is no contradiction. Actually, there is no contradiction. What is happening is the lack of understanding for us. That is the problem. There is no contradiction because Rishi's words are not contradiction. Rishis have concluded certain things and their conclusions is what Gita Shastram is. Gita Shastram is. So if you just pick up words and start explaining, you can say anything whatever you like, but it can change the meaning also whichever you like. So, and sometimes you may even surprise Krishna. Krishna will think, I have never even thought about all these things, what you are coming up with, what I have spoken. It will come out like that at the end, isn't it? So, one person said, what is the meaning of Bhagavad Gita, he said. Because people do misunderstand Bhagavad Gita in this way. I'll give you an example for that. What does Bhagavad Gita say? Sarva dharman parityaja. Give up everything, he said. And then, another place, Krishna said to Arjuna, yathechasi tada kuru. You do what you like. So, what is the conclusion? Conclusion is very simple, isn't it? Sarva dharman parityaja. Give up. Don't follow any kind of religious principles in life. Sarva dharman parityaja. And yathechasi tada kuru, do what you like. This is what Bhagavad Gita is saying. You can say like that if you want. Isn't it? Nobody is going to question you. Because both are there in the Bhagavad Gita. Sarva dharman parityaja is also there in the Bhagavad Gita. Yathechasi tada kuru is also in the Bhagavad Gita. So if I pick up this line from the 1866 verse and yathechasi tada kuru from 1871 or 72, the two lines, and I join them together and I say to people, look what Krishna is saying. Krishna is saying here, then sarva dharman parityaja. Don't worry about this world. Do what you like. Yathechasi tada kuru. That's the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. If I say like that, will that make any sense? So in the same way, when you study Srimad Bhagavad Gita, you must study in this way, that one thing what is spoken in one place should not contradict with the other. If you feel there is a contradiction, that means you haven't missed something somewhere. It is mistake is completely on our side. The Shastram is perfect, especially Brahma Vidya. No other Shastram is perfect as like Brahma Vidya is. Brahma Vidya is a perfect science. There cannot be any loopholes there. So, because Brahma Vidya is perfect, if I am not getting right somewhere, some contradiction I am feeling, it's only due to my own imperfection. I have not something missing somewhere. That is why, Jiva Bodha Sanatanaha, if I keep on saying, I am always remain as Jiva, then many other verses in the Bhagavad Gita will be very difficult to explain. So, and not only that, you will be even questioning Upanishads. Therefore, Sanatanaha, what does that mean? Sanatanaha means the sky, the sun is in the sky. There is water in the pot. Sun is reflecting in the pot. And is the sun that is reflecting the pot permanent? It's not permanent, isn't it? So, but sun is permanent. Sun is permanent. It is permanent. Sun is permanent. Reflection is not permanent. Reflection is not permanent. So, but we call it is permanent, not because that the reflection is permanent, but but the person who is reflecting in the water is permanent. The vastu that is reflecting in the water is permanent. Water is not permanent. Reflection is not permanent. But the vastu that is reflecting in the water is permanent. Isn't it? So, the Vastu is permanent and he is Purnam, perfection. But this water can dry up tomorrow in the pot. If it dries up, what will happen? There won't be any more reflection anymore. Similarly, this Chit Pradibimba Lakshano Jivaha, that is the definition. That means when Chit Shakti, when it is reflecting in the Chit, Chit means our vasana inside, then it is called Jiva. That is why every Jiva is different. Atma is not different. Consciousness in everyone is the same. They are not different. But when it becomes Jiva, we are all different. Why? Because Chit Shakti has reflected in our vasana inside, which is called Chitta. Chit Shakti, when it reflects in the Chit, it is called Jiva. It is called Jiva. And Jiva, so we feel that Jiva is the truth. Jiva is the truth at the moment, isn't it? So, as long as you are in bondage, Jiva is the truth. Jiva is a truth. Jiva is the truth. Because its original form, its true form is, if you look at it, it is a, from that point of view, if you look at it, it is a satyavastu, sanatanam it is. Although it is jiva, we call it, in its original form, it is sanatanam, isn't it? Atma it is. So it is satyavastu. So, and that is sanatanam also. When we call it as jiva, it's only a temporary thing because of the reflection, is it not? But in its true form, it is sanatana. So that is why Krishna is saying there that mamaivamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanaha. In its true form is sanatanam. But not in the jiva form is sanatanam. Because if you make it like jiva form is sanatanam, then a lot of other verses in the Bhagavad Gita you will have find great difficulty to accommodate that. And you won't be able to explain it properly then. Philosophy has to be very perfect in that way when you explain these things. Otherwise it contradicts a lot. So that is why So where is the difference then? Difference is in the dress. Difference is in the dress. Here Krishna is saying, Manashashtan Indriyani Prakritisthani Karshati. Here he has got a dress, consciousness. Here he has got a dress in the form of mind, senses. That is its dress here. Manashashtan Indriyani Prakritisthani Karshati. Whereas, in its pure form, before it's reflecting in the water or like the sun, in its pure form, it is Krishna. Krishna is its form. It's only in the reflecting states we have this mind and the body, intelligence and ego. There we have this problem. That is why when we say that Krishna is concerned, so this constituency we have, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, which is nothing but a reflection of, which is a reflected form of the truth, which is there. And that reflection is happening due to, how did this happen? Due to the presence of Maya. So when we get released from Maya, what will happen? Mind will go, intelligence will go, senses will go, three modes of nature will go, attachment, aversion will go, male, female, all these things will go away from our pure form of consciousness. Pure consciousness comes back again. That is what it is spoken here. That Brahmavastu, then it is Brahmam, isn't it? Brahmavastu. Brahmavastu is Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. Anyway, we will leave it at that for the moment. We'll come back to this later. This Jiva, what is present in all of us, it has got some parts there. For example, we are not into this too much, into this logicizing things. That is not going to help. whatever it may be, doesn't matter. This issue will be there in this world about Advaitam, Dvaitam, Vishishtadvaitam, all these things. But one thing what you have to remember is this, that whether it is Advaitam or Vishishtadvaitam or Dvaitam, whatever it is, they all agree on one point. What's that point? Point is this, that you have to realize the truth. There is no disagreement on that, isn't it? You have to realize the truth. All the three are saying, we have to realize the truth. Both Advaiti says, Dvaiti says, Vishishtadvaiti also says. So, let that happen first. Let us realize the truth. After that, we can see other things. This question, whether it is Advaitam, Dvaitam, Vishishtadvaitam, is all after self-realization. Only after that it should disturb us, not today. Today it should not be a... because it has no meaning, first of all, to discuss this here. They give this example. Ganga River is flowing. Now we are sitting here and discussing how long is Ganga River and what is the speciality of Ganga's nature in different places, all these things. That is no use. If you want to know that, you go there and see what how Ganga flows, isn't it? So, similarly, first we have to get out of this first step of realizing that I am not this body. That is the first stage. And after that, that we have to experience through, we have to realize it through experience. Anubhava chakshusa, in other words. Anubhava chakshusa, through experience we have to know that. Then after that we can look at the other things. So, you can see, even if we turn our attention inwards, we all get different thoughts inside. They're not the same, isn't it? Suppose just like at home, wife is thinking that she looks at the watch and says, what time is it now? The time is for the husband to come, the food has to be prepared. So, things like that in her life, so many thoughts come through her mind. Husband's mind will be occupied with the work involved in the office, other management issues at home or whatever that is, won't be concerned about the food. So everyone, according to their position, they will have different thought waves coming through the mind. So our problem of life in this world is centered around me, is centered around me. So, so when this situation happens in each one of us in our life, that we come to a stage that all problems, according to my situation, I have to confront them in this life. And that person who is confronting with his own problems, it is that person Krishna is addressing here as Jiva Bodhaha. He has become Jiva. See, when you look at that verse carefully, it's a very interesting verse on one level. On another world level, it's a very controversial verse also. After saying about Mamai Vamsho Jiva Lokam, Jiva Bodha Sanatana, Mamai Vamsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bodha Sanatana, Krishna said three things there, isn't it? Amsham, Jiva Bodham, Sanatanam. Three things. Then in the second part of the verse, Krishna is saying, Manashashtan Indriyani Prakritistani Karshati. Krishna's point is that this Jiva, to become a Jiva Bodham, this Manashashtan Indriyani Prakritistani Karshati must be there. Only then he is a Jiva Bodham. Do you understand that? Then otherwise he is not Jiva Bodham. His nature is not Jiva Bodham forever. You can't just take one part of the verse and saying that's it. So, Mamai Amsham, Jiva Bodham, Sanatanam, these three nature of the Jiva is only due to Manashashtan Indriyani Prakritistani Karshati. That is what we are saying here. Depending on our position in this world, husband or wife or children or uncle or aunt, each one of us, centered around us, there is a life existing. A father thinks the way how he wants to earn his living, maintain his family, about his job. These are the worries for him. It is his problems in life. Mother thinks in terms of providing the food, bringing up the children. These are her activities centered around her individuality, in other words. So this nature in each one of us is our jivatvam. This is called jivatvam. Because then it will make sense. Because manasa shashta indriyani, including the mind, the six senses, prakritisthani karshadi. We are dealing with the prakriti all the time. And this is what our dealing is. And that is what makes a jiva. Otherwise, jivatvam has no meaning. Jivatvam has no meaning. You see, that's the way one has to look at it. Otherwise, that words will not, it's not fair to say that Mamayamsha Jiva Logi Jiva Bodha Saravana, because it's said in the two lines something, you pick up that and hold on to that and argue with everything. That's not very nice, because it's not a very good understanding of Bhagavad Gita. You understand Bhagavad Gita, you should understand in such a way that you have to remember that Bhagavad Gita is not Krishna has just pulled out of the air something. He has taken out from the Rishi's words of Kathopanishad, Kenopanishad, Ishopanishad, Chandokyam. So many Upanishads have come into Bhagavad Gita. And there is a science behind it, the Rishi's vision, their clarity, their realization of the truth. And that's what Krishna is presenting to us in the Bhagavad Gita. Whereas we take it in a different way. We take it that, oh, Krishna has manufactured something and presented to us. Then you just go by the words. This is madness. If you study Bhagavad Gita like this, it won't last very long. After a while, it will be full of doubts and questions, and you won't go very far in that way. This whole Vedic understanding of philosophy is centered around this one thing called Atma. You can't go far away from that. And that is the one thing that is present in all the Upanishads, all the Puranam, all Mahabharatam, all Ramayanam, all through the Vedam. This Vastu is one that is discussed is Atma. And that Atma, in order to make it accessible for different kinds of people, it has been presented in different literature in different ways. That's all it is. You can see how this problem develops. People who have not developed that way of thinking, they will find it difficult, because what happens is, they are studying Bhagavad Gita in one way, Bhagavatam in another way. And they say, when they read Bhagavatam, they are getting great difficulty. Why? In Bhagavatam there is a lot of things which will not come in agreement with our logic, isn't it? As I mentioned many times, Ugrasena had 4 billion servants and Chitrakedu had 10 million wives and all that. So how will you explain all these things? That is why when we say about Puranam, we say Puranam has been spoken in a particular way to bring people into some understanding of spiritual life. And also, when the Rishis have put these numbers there, deliberately they have done it to get us out of this time and space business. And in order to free ourselves from this looking things from a block, to come out of it and to become a little different than our analysis. That's why they have spoken it that way. And you will naturally ask the question when they say that in the Bhagavatam there is this statement about that Krishna had Krishna's children to teach them. There were some 350 million teachers who were teaching in Dwaraka. It is mentioned like that. Is it not? So all these numbers, what is shown in the Bhagavatam, naturally questions people will ask. Because if you start taking the direct meaning of all these things, you will find it very difficult to explain Bhagavatam. In simple truth, it is like this. The knowledge of the Upanishads is simply centered around Atma, how to realize the truth. That's what's spoken. But when it comes to Puranam and all that, there's a lot of things added on to it to make it more palatable to our mind. To make it more palatable for our mind. When it is spoken in the story form, they bring personalities inside. And through personalities is spoken, through glorifications and through direct instructions in this way, you will take a little bit more interest. Because as soon as you see there is a person, you get more attracted to it. That through Akrura, through Uddhava, like that becomes. But an important principle is this, that any Shastram when we study, it should not contradict with another Shastram. If it is contradicting, then we will have a little problem. You may have to reject them. If you start rejecting, then who decide which to accept and which to reject them? There will be a problem then, isn't it? So the Rishis who gave us all the Upanishads, Puranam, Ramayanam, Mahabharatam, deliberately they have put certain things mentioned there. Just like Sudev Goswami, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, he is a avadhuta, sannyasi, he is like his nature. In the Skanda Puranam, he is spoken as a married person with children. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Padma Puranam is spoken in a different way, about the same personality. Why? The reason is this, that we have to learn what to take from these things. That understanding we have to develop, how to pull out the truth from all these things. If you start giving importance to details, you will find it difficult. It won't get you anywhere. So that's why we have to become that little savvy on that. There's no other way. Puranams otherwise will confuse you completely. Completely confused you'll get. That's why people do research on Puranam. They won't get anywhere with the Puranam. It'll be very difficult. It's a way of studying what we have developed within ourselves. Rishis didn't want us to go in that way. They didn't give importance to the details. What they gave importance to was to the message. Message is more important than the detail. Details are not important. What's the use? Whether, for example, right now we are sitting here. We are discussing Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita spoken 5,000 years ago. Now, what happened 5,000 years ago, what matters to me today? If I start looking into how many chariots were there, how many soldiers were killed, how many aeroplanes were used, all this is all no use to me today. It will be like me studying the Second World War or the First World War. It's no difference at all. But what matters to me today is what transpired between Krishna and Arjuna, and what was that message Krishna gave to Arjuna which inspired Arjuna to fight the war. Why he changed his position from fight, not to fight, to fight, he decided, isn't it? And that message is eternal because it applies to me today, to you also today. And that message will live forever in this world for time, years to come. It will remain like that. And it was valid then, it is valid today, it will be valid in the future. That's what matters to us, not the details. So here, coming back to these words, Krishna is saying here the same thing that coming back to this. So manashashtan indriyani prakritisthani karshati. You have to take those two lines into account when you are explaining Jiva Bhutam. Otherwise it won't make any sense. Manashashtan indriyani prakritisthani karshati. That manasa and the five senses together, shashtam, six. And continuously, prakritisthani karshadi, that is our existence in this world. Prakritisthani karshadi means what? Prakritisthani karshadi means, under the three modes of material nature, we are struggling here. We are struggling here under the three modes of material nature. With the help of these six things, mind and the senses. And as long as this is going on, we are Jiva. As long as this is going on, we are Jiva. So, and Jiva, when that is what Krishna is addressing as Jiva Bhutaha. Jiva Bhutaha. So this Jiva has a dress. What is that dress? For example, many qualifications of this body is in me. Isn't it? Is in me. For example, the beauty of the body and the health of the body, and the bodily identification, for example. Many things related to the body I have added on to me. Many things related to the body I have added on to me. Similarly, many things connected with the mind I have added on to me. Like, for example, when I say about me, it's this body's things are in me. When I'm talking about me, the body's identity is in me. Similarly, all my emotions, thoughts from the mind is also in that me. Is also in me. For example, I'll say, I feel envious. I feel envious, I say. But envy is a quality of the mind, but emotion of the mind, but it comes to me. It comes to me. I feel sleepy, if I say. Sleepy is a nature of the body. Body needs a sleep. But I take it on me. I take the qualities of the body in me, I take the qualities of the mind in me. All these things. That is why Jadabharata said this. If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see there. He says, body has got hunger, thirst and things like that. Isn't it? Similarly, anger, greed and hate, all these things are related to the mind. Related to the mind. But none of them I have got. Have you noticed that? If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see he mentions this. That is because it's Jadabharata, he's saying like that. But when we say, we don't say like that, do we? When we say to somebody, if you look into the... it is only 10th chapter, I think. 10th chapter, I think. For 5th canto. When Jadabharata mentions that, he says there that... 5, 10, 10. Yeah. Stavilyam, Karshyam, Vyadhaya, Adhayascha, Chutta, Bhayam, Kali, Icha, Jara, Nidra, Reti, Manyu, Aham, Mada, Shucho, Dehena, Jadasehi, Me, Nasandi. That's the verse. It says, Stavilyam, Karshyam, Vyadhayam, Adhayascha. Body is fat. I feel I am fat. Or somebody is feeling I am very slim. I am Vyadhi. Vyadhi is related to body. Adhi, related to the mind. I feel sick in the body. I feel sick in my mind. Hunger and thirst and things like that. Fear, anger, Kali. Desire, Icha, Jara, old age, Nidra, sleep. Redir manyu aham mada shujo dehena jadasihi mena sandhi. So, different aspects of the body, different aspects, emotions of the mind, they are all present in me. When I say, I will express it in that way, isn't it? I'll say, I feel sleepy. That means I am in identification with the body. I am getting angry means I am identifying with the mind strongly. So what is Jadabharata saying here is that this mind and the body, they are in us present continuously in all our vivaharam and in our normal existence here. In the jiva state, this will all be there. All these things will be there. That is why he is saying here. So, me, I'm not able to stay separate from that at any time. Always in identification with the body and the mind. So, when I am in this state, in identification with the body and the mind, that is called Jiva Bhuta. That is Jiva. When I am in identification with the body and the mind, and like Jadabharata said that, if I am like that, then I am Jiva Bhuta. So, but if you become a little bit more spiritually conscious, aware about this, and you kept on analyzing this all the time, very intensely within yourself, if you do that inquiry, then quietly, one after the other, these things will go from us. That is the path of knowledge. Process of knowledge is that. That quietly, how we free ourselves from the influence of the mind and from the influence of the body and coming to the spiritual platform where we are. So, so like normally some emotions comes to us. For example, distress comes, hate comes, and so many things. If you are in spiritual life, when they come, what will happen? If you are performing sadhaka, sadhaka means one who is engaged in spiritual life, he will think that, oh, these thoughts are coming in my mind. You will think like that. Normally we don't. We just react to the situation, isn't it? But what Krishna is saying here is that, that is those who are in the spiritual life, when they get such emotions of hate or anger or fear or any such emotions, which is nothing but happening in the mind, if he is executing sadhana with knowledge, he will think, I'm getting all this kind of bad thoughts in me. It comes in my mind. You will think like that. And you will tend to separate yourself from the mind. Tend to separate yourself from the mind. And you will also think, will they go away? When will they leave me? You will think like that. So after a little while, they will go. All emotions are like that. None of them will stay permanently, isn't it? Similarly, good thoughts also. Good thoughts also. These are talking about the bad things. Good things also, you can see that you will start thinking, oh, I've become a yogi now. After a week, I've attended a course or a seminar and I've become a yogi now. You'll start thinking like that. And some people will think that after a week of a course or seminar, I've become Sugar Brahmarshi now. I've come to that stage. They'll start thinking. So this is all in the mental plane, isn't it? Mental plane. And because it is on the mental platform, what happens is, after a while it goes. The way it has come, it will go also. So, it comes, it goes. It comes, it goes. Good things and bad things. It comes in the mind and it goes away. So, what's happening? What am I doing then? I'm just remaining as a witness. Is it not? I'm remaining as a witness. That means it comes, it goes, and it is not affecting me. Because I'm remaining as a witness at that time. But temporarily I managed to separate myself from that. So what has happened now is, that when it is mixed with the, when it is mixed with the mind, when it is mixed with the senses, and if you are situated in that state all the time, then you are called a jiva. Then you are called jiva. And in that state, if you leave the body, then all these things, what is mixed with you, will go with you. All these thoughts, what you have mixed up with the emotions, the thoughts, and the other adhyaropam, what they called as the in your, because due to your association with the body, whatever the body is projected on you, these things, it's all mixed up and staying like this. And if you in that state, if you leave the body, all these things will go with you to the next body. So just like they say, in the pot there is muddy water, and the sun is reflecting in that water, and you brought another pot there, another earthen pot, then you have poured all the water from this pot into the other pot, then sun will reflect in that water also, isn't it? So if you break this pot, first pot, if you break it, that means the body has gone where it's reflecting. But another pot in another water, the same form has come. Same form has started reflecting again. isn't it? What you have done here now is that you have broken the form. You have broken the form. The form that was reflecting in this water could change in some ways depending on the water that is in the other pot. It's in the other pot. So, if you keep on changing this from one pot to another pot, reflection will still happen, but the pot is changing. Pot is changing. This is, you will see, this change that is happening, this is the what we call as the transmigration of the soul. Transmigration of the soul. Bhishma says this to Krishna in the Bhagavatam. You must always remember, Krishna never speaks anything of his own, always quoting others. Krishna does this. Whole of Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look, in many, many places, you will see Krishna bringing Dattatreya, Bhishma, and similarly Puruvas, Pingala, including Pingala, Krishna has brought into Bhagavatam to present the truth to us. Why is it done like that? The reason is this. If Krishna says, I am saying this to you, you may or may not accept it. But if Krishna says to us, look, people in this world who have gone through this process and realized, and this is what their realization, when Krishna says that, we get the understanding that people have practiced this already and found out the truth through that process. And Krishna gives some to us, to as an example for us to follow. It makes that words more strength to it, makes us more to accept it without difficulty. If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see in the first canto, Bhishma mentions this in the prayers. Bhishma Stuti is the 9th chapter. So, if you look into that first canto, in the 9th chapter, there is a verse there where Bhishma says this, that Tamima Mahamajam Sharira Bhajam. Tamima Mahabhajam Sharira Bhajam Hridi Hridi Dishtidam Almakalpidanam Pratidrishamiva Nega Arkamegam Samadhigadosmi Vidhuta Bheda Moha. See that verse? 42, the last verse in the Bhishma Stuti. Bhishma spoke 3-4 important things in that Stuti. Bhishma spoke about about Krishna, who is Krishna. That is what Bhishma is saying there. How Bhishma sees Krishna. Not the way we see Krishna. How Bhishma sees Krishna. Bhishma is saying, I know you who you are. That's how he begins. In Mahabharata war, as Arjuna's charioteer, number one. Rajasuyam sacrifice as the chief guest when Shishupala was killed. Bhishma says, in these three occasions, I've understood who you are. And finally, in this verse, you can see in the last 42nd verse. Tamima mahabhajam sharira bhajam hridi hridi dishtidam almagalpidanam pratidrisham iva neiga arkamegam samadhigadosmi vidhudha bheda moha. That is the final conclusion of Bhishma. Can you read the translation for that verse, please? How it is mentioned that.
Now I can meditate with full concentration upon that one Lord, Sri Krishna, now present before me, because now I have transcended the misconceptions of duality in regard to his presence in everyone's heart. Even in the hearts of the mental speculators, he is in everyone's heart. The sun may be perceived differently, but the sun is one.
That's it. Tamimam aham ajam sharira bhajam. Because of shariram, we see these variations. There is not many, there's only one. And that one, because of tamimam aham ajam sharira bhajam. Because of shariram, this is reflecting in the body as different, as jiva. Is deflecting. Hridi hridi dishtidam. In everyone's hridi, hrit. Again the same word, hrit. Hridi hridi dishtidam. Almakalpidanam. Alma is the one who is present as the hrit. Pratidisham Ivadeika Arkam Egam. Sun is only one. There's only one sun. Samadhi Gadosmi Vidhuda Veda Moha. That when I come to the Samadhi state, Samadhi Gadosmi Vidhuda Veda Moha. The Vedam, that difference goes away. That difference goes away. The greatest personality is speaking, Bhishma. Bhishma is saying to Krishna, first thing he said, in three instances, I knew who you were. Addressing as absolute truth. First time, when Arjuna was, when in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, when you spoke Bhagavad Gita to him, and you came to kill me with the disc. At that time, understood who you are. Secondly, in the Rajasuyam sacrifice, when Shishubala was killed, at that time, 100 offences he committed, and then finally Krishna cut his throat. At that time, Bhishma says, I understood who you were. Third, in the Rasa dance, in the gopis. So, Bhishma understood these three situations properly. And finally, Bhishma is saying to Krishna, you are that sun. Tamimo Ahabajam Arkamegam. That Arkan sun is you. And you are the only one who is there actually, but who is present in all different bodies, present in everyone. But I do not see, I never see it like that. I have been seeing in different bodies, but now I can see that it's you who is present in everyone. Finally, that is how Bhishma concluded his stuti, glorification of Krishna in the Bhagavatam. Just to indicate to us that sun is only one, but it is reflecting in so many parts. Like Atma is reflecting in so many pots. So, if you smash the pot down, that sun is not reflecting there anymore, isn't it? The sun is still remaining the same. So, here you can see that that the same is the principle. This is Vedanta. This is the Vedanta philosophy. Is this, the sun is only one. There's only one consciousness. There can't be many consciousness. Jiva is nothing but this, when that one consciousness, when in it one body it enters, and when it is fighting with the mind and the senses, with the material nature, it's called a jiva. That's all. Otherwise, it is not jiva. Otherwise, it's not jiva. Now, you may ask the question in that case, why jiva surubena nitya Krishna das? That question will come then, isn't it? That's a Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's name. Reason is this, that it is only in the bhakti state, in order to develop bhakti in the heart, you are given this position as jiva. You are asked to stay in that position as jiva, to develop as much bhakti as possible, so that bhakti develops in the heart. But that doesn't change the truth. Truth remains the same. Once we develop bhakti inside, what will happen? We will get purified. Once we get purified, this what Krishna is talking about, you will experience it. What Krishna says here, and in the Bhagavatam, what Bhishma says, we will experience it when there is bhakti in the heart. Without bhakti, otherwise it will remain simply on the intellectual level. That is the reason why they have drilled this into our mind. Jiva Surubhaya Hai Nitya Krishna Das. That's all it is. Then if you don't follow it, otherwise what will happen is, if you take one side all on a face value, then you will find a lot of problems with other Vedantic scriptures. Everything disagreeing with you. Then only thing left is you'll have to reject everything. All Upanishads you have to reject. You'll have to reject Vedam also, quite a part of it. And then you are saying you are following the Vedic literature. Where you are following Vedic literature then? It's not happening though. So this understanding in this particular way is necessary in spiritual life. Not to create any conflict inside. This is the point I'm saying. Not to create any conflict inside. That means, what Bhishma is saying one thing. It can't be different than what Chaitanya Charitamrita is saying. Isn't it? Chaitanya Charitamrita is saying to us that you have to develop this jiva nature and stay in that jiva nature and develop bhakti. Because jiva nature is easier to develop bhakti in that way. Dvaitam, there it is. And once bhakti develops and purification happens into us, sufficient purification happens into us, then what will happen is, this what Bhishma is talking, what Uddhava is saying, what Krishna is saying, will all make some sense to us. Otherwise, it not using intelligence, it has to come in our anubhavam, experience level. Otherwise, what is the use of all these things, isn't it? That is what Krishna is also saying here. In the same thing, the same Bhishma Stuti is that verse. Acharya Swamiji took it and put it in the Viveka Chudamani. The same thing in his own language. That's all. Vastu is the same. He says here, Gadham jalam tad akkabimbam tadagamam akkabimbam vihaya sarvam vinirikshadeer kam tadasta edas tadamyamabhasaka soyam pragasho vidusha yatha tatha. This is the 219, verse 219 in the Viveka Chudamani. He says here that Gadham jalam tad gadam arkabimbam vihaya sarvam vinirikshadarkam. Just like there is the water in the pot and the sun is reflecting in the pot. But while reflecting in the pot, the sun is still independent. The sun is there, the pot is there, the water is there. And the sun is reflecting in the pot, isn't it? In the pot. But while reflecting, he is still independent. Sun is independent. Similarly, Atma is reflecting in us in the form of Jiva. In the form of Jiva. Because of the vasanas inside. But because it is reflecting doesn't mean Atma is not there. Atma is still there, is still Atma. It's only a reflection in the form of Jiva. Unfortunately, what's happened to us is we have identified with Jiva, and that is where all the problems started. When did we become a Jiva? We became a Jiva, Manashashtan Indriyani, Prakritisthani Karshati. When we got the mind, when we got the gross body, senses, everything. Then since then we are in the Jiva state. We are in the Jiva state. The moment we realize the truth, we lose the body, we lose the mind, we lose the senses, everything. And mind, Manashashtan Indriyani has gone. Prakritisthani Karshati also gone. That means Prakritisthani Karshati means three modes of material nature, basically. When both of them have gone, then what remains then? Only Atma. Atma remains then. So, gadam jalam tadgada arkabimbam vihaya sarvam vinirikshadarkam tadasta edad tadayava bhasaka soyam prakasho vidusha yatha tatha. Just as the wise man leaves aside the jar, the water and the reflection of the sun in it and see the self-luminous sun which illumines everything, these three, and is independent of them. He does not see it anymore in terms of the pot, the water or the reflection. Instead, he sees who is reflecting. Who is reflecting? The sun is reflecting in the pot, in the water. The intelligent person knows that the sun is in the sky. The reflection is not important. The water is not important. The pot is not important. The vastu, who is reflecting, is important. Similarly, in all of us, Atma, who is reflecting in all of us, that is more important. Not the Jiva, who is reflected form of that Atma, or the body where it is reflected into, or the reflection, that is not important. The process of reflection, that's what it is saying here. So, from there you can understand that. So, one foolish person, he said, he saw the pot and the water. He said, oh, the sun has fallen into the pot, he said. Similarly, there's so many children's stories you will see. They make fun out of this reflections thing. That a child goes to the to a well in the night, and he saw the moon in the water in the well. So he comes and tells his mother, the moon has fallen into the well. He says like this, isn't it? So then mother says moon has fallen into the, not fallen into the water. Mother knows, she said the moon is still there. He says, no, 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 I can see that, it's lying there in the water. Get a bucket to get the moon out from there, he said. So similarly, it's the same thing here. It's also, finally somebody showed it to the child, look up to the moon, is lying, staying there in the sky. So mudha's symptom is like that. Mudha will think like this, that what has fallen into this as the real thing. It's not the real thing. So similarly, so you can see here, if you leave the pot, if you leave the water, and if you leave the reflection, and finally, if you leave them all behind and look into the sky, you will see the moon there. You will see the moon there. Similarly, if you do this reflection very well, self-inquiry very well, mananam process very well, you will get the truth from inside. Truth from inside. Because this body is like the pot. And what is the water in the pot? Our thoughts inside, our vasanas, our emotions and vasanas. That's all our, the water inside. And that's called the chittam. And in that chittam, this atma is reflecting in that chittam. And the reflected form is false ego, ahankaram. Ahankaram is the reflected form, and that is called the jiva. That is called jiva. This is how Vedantam will take it. It'll be very difficult to argue against Vedantam. Vedantam will give you much more convincing answers on this than any other Dvaitam, Vishishta Dvaitam. It will be very difficult to argue against that philosophically. But the important point is, we don't have to worry about it today. What our main concern, both Vedantam, Vishishta Dvaitam, Dvaitam, all of them agree on one thing, first to realize the truth. First, either through bhakti, karma, jnanam, whichever way possible, for every one of us have to come out of the body first. And this issue you have to deal with only after that, not before that. Today we are all Dvaitam. Dvaita state is we are in. We cannot do anything about it. And therefore we have to develop Krishna consciousness first. And through Krishna consciousness we have to come beyond the body first. Till we get out of the body, all these discussions also won't lead us very far. It won't help. That's why most of the people find it very difficult. That you can see, majority of the people are not interested in the philosophical side of it, isn't it? They're just satisfied with the, somehow or the other, I want to get out of the problems of this life, what I'm having. This is all how far they are thinking about. So in that state, all this philosophy won't mean much. But if you serious about spiritual life, and if you want to follow this through all the way till the end, till you realize the truth, then these things does matter. But when does it matter? That's the question. Question is this. First, till we come out of this bodily identity, all these discussions about the truth, the way Krishna has spoken about it, will not be effective in us and will not satisfy our needs until we realize that we are not this body. So first thing is to come out of the body. But after that only this issue comes, whether it is Dvaitam, Advaitam, Vishishta Dvaitam or this or that, all these things. So first thing we have to chant Hare Krishna, chant the holy name and get out of this, study Srimad Bhagavatam very well and hear Bhagavatam as much as possible. In that way Bhagavatam will purify us and develop bhakti in the heart. And through that bhakti process we have to come to this state of receiving this message, then it will have its effect. Otherwise it will not be much of a benefit to us. That's why Bhagavatam is still necessary for this reason. That's why Krishna is saying here that so here you can see, if this is clear, that what Krishna mentions before, that we have the chittam inside, which is full of our karma vasana. Vasanas have come due to karma. See, everything is connected one to another. Karma is connected to the vasana. Karma created the vasana inside. Vasana Patalam it is called. Vasana Patalam means the bulk of vasanas, big huge bulk of vasanas inside us. Vasana Patalam it is called. And due to excessive engagement in karmam, that has created this different vasanas inside. And in that vasana, which is called chittam, the reflection of the Atma happens. When Atma is reflected in that chittam, it is called ahangaram. That's when ahangaram was born. Our ego was born due to that. When all the vasanas dries up inside, vasana chayam it's called, when the whole vasanas dries up, there will not be any more ahangaram because there is nothing to reflect anymore. Nothing to reflect anymore. So ahangaram, which is the reflection of Atma in the vasana, is called jiva, which is ahangaram, which is called jiva. So jiva dies when vasanas die. When all the vasanas gone, jiva dies. When does the vasana die? When bhakti develops in the heart. That is when vasanas goes. That means that killing the vasana is through bhakti. Bhakti is the easiest process. Krishna mentions this in the Bhagavatam many, many times. Bhakti is the best process for removing the vasanas from inside. So if this is, and when that happens, that once the vasanas have gone, then the sun in the sky does not reflect, and what is inside is only the sun. There is no reflection anymore. There is only sun there. But it is that sun that is reflecting in the vasanas in the form of ahangaram and jiva. But that reflection is not there anymore. So the original source is present there. Atma alone is present there at that time. If that is clear, then the Vedantam is clear. When that is experienced level. Isn't it? So, the rope is there. The snake is there. Isn't it? So, body is there, and in there, inside there is what is called a chittam. What is reflecting the chittam is jiva bodham. What Krishna says is jiva bodham. So, jiva's real nature is behind that in the form of Atma, which is Chaitanyam, isn't it? So, in order to find that, that process is self-inquiry. Atma vicharam, in other words. So, once that false ego goes away, at the moment it is wound up with various other thought waves, chitavritti, isn't it? So, ahangaram or false ego, when it gets released from all other chitavritti, then when it gets released from all other chitavritti, then it becomes ahambodham. It becomes pure consciousness. Why consciousness is not appearing at the moment? Because of the presence of so many other thought waves due to the vasanas inside and due to our ragam, dvesham, kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam. These four things. These four things, along with all our other emotions in the mind and the bodily identity, all mixed up at the moment. And that is why it is in the form of ahangaram. Once all these things goes away, ragadvesham goes away, kartrutva, bhoktrutvam goes away, and thought waves also goes away, then what is left there is only ahambodham. Ahambodham takes the form of ahankaram, false ego, when all these things are present. When all these things are present. So, that is that important words. So, when you start giving attention to jivabodham, then Krishna is saying here, once you become, first of all, we are not even given attention to jiva, what to talk about Atma. So, when we start giving attention to jiva bodham, Krishna says that eternal vastu, sanatanam, which is sanatanam, that will start manifesting inside. When the aham bodham manifests, it is sanatanam. Anam bodham is sanatanam. But when it is in the form of jiva bodham, in the form of jiva bodham, then it has got its body, it accepts the body, it rejects the body, it goes into another body. Just like the water goes from one pot to another, it goes in the same way. In other words, so long as we have this ahangaram inside, so long as we have this ahangaram inside, here ahangaram does not mean in the way proud of anything. No, not in that way. What it means, not in that way. Till you realize all the vasanas goes away from inside, that everybody is ahankari. Everybody is ahankari here in this world. Actually, everyone is an ahankari. Till all our vasanas disappears from inside, we get completely swept off from inside, we will remain as ahankaram. And what it means is, you will have that personal identification, vyakti bodham, individuality. Individuality is only due to ahankaram, nothing else. That's the important thing. Then what happens is, because of ahankaram, what happens? I'm thinking I'm this body, and I'm a jiva inside this body. And as long as I have those thoughts, it is not possible for me to give up punarjanma, next birth. As long as I'm thinking I'm this body, as long as I'm thinking I have a mind, I am a jiva, this transmigration of the body, you cannot give up. It will come again and again. The moment the mind goes away, the body goes away, ahankaram goes away, then transmigration also goes away. There is no more transmigration. That is why in that second chapter, when you study, the first part, Krishna is saying, I am eternal, na jayate, na mriyate. Otherwise it becomes a contradiction, isn't it? You can see there itself, in the second chapter itself, contradiction comes. One side Krishna is saying, na jayate, na mriyate, va kada. Next few verses later, Krishna is saying, jadasihya dhruva mrtu dhruvam janma mrtasya cha. If you are born, you have to die, you are dead, you have to take birth again. So these two things are contradicting. How will you explain that? That is why it is important to know what jiva means. If you accept a jiva in the way we have discussed today, then this contradiction won't come in the second chapter. People don't ask any question. Oh, it's written that Krishna said like this, that's it. You don't ask any questions anymore. Because it said in this chapter, this verse number, chapter number, verse number, like our man says. Yeah, it's chapter number, verse number. Ravi Shankar was debating with him, and he says to him, "It's no point in talking to you," he said at the end. This, what was his name? Sakinayak, yes. He started arguing on this way. If you start discussing, like, you can't discuss Vedic literature that way. Vedic literature, there is a particular way you have to go along with it. Otherwise, you will end up in complete confusion at the end. And that's what happens to many people. And many people, they read Bhagavad Gita in that way. If something is spoken in the second chapter, it should be in agreement with the 15th chapter. Or something is spoken in the 18th chapter, it should be in agreement with the 3rd chapter. Everywhere there should be agreement. There's one philosophy Krishna is presenting to us, the science of the soul. And that we have to know where we are not getting it, it is some problem in us. Something that we have to clear up within us. That's the only way it can be done. So Krishna is saying here that so this personality, and you know, when you run these courses on personality development and all, you just have to know where they stand in spiritual life. You wonder about that, isn't it? Vyakti bodham is ahankaram, is reflection. So as long as I am thinking I am this body, I am a jiva inside this body, you will never be able to avoid this transmigration of the soul. And this is one body, you go into another body. And this is the topic that was discussed between Shankaracharya and Vedavyas in Banaras. You can read that in the book. It's all there in the net. What they discussed to each other. They discussed this topic because it is there in the Vedanta Sutram. And Vedanta Sutram, one of the topics discussed is this. He mentions there. So, when jiva leaves one body and goes to another body, how does he go? How does he go? If you look in the Brahma Sutram, you will see the last verse, the last sutram. There's totally 555 sutram in the Brahma Sutram. 555. The last sutram is all about this. About this. So, the discussion was that when one leaves this body, will he carry with all the vasanas in him to the next body and along with the mind, or does he leave part of them here? This discussion you will find in that sutram, explanation to that. So easy tad andare pratipatto tahari sambari sampratipa sambarishaktaha prashna nirubandara abhyandaram. That the questions answers related to that you will find in that sutram, explanation to that. That is what Krishna is going to talk about in the next verse. Krishna is pulling out from the Veda, Brahma Sutram, all these things. So, what is the benefit to us? Benefit is this. One profit what we gain from all this thing is that we have heard Bhagavad Gita. I will tell you this, that if you hear Bhagavad Gita, these 18 chapters, very well, and then you come to Bhagavadam, and you will enjoy Bhagavadam a lot more than what you will. Now you are struggling with Bhagavadam to understand what Bhagavadam is saying, isn't it? But if you understand what is the message, which is Bhagavad Gita's message is coming through Bhagavadam. So you hear Bhagavad Gita and then you have listened to it a lot and you have chanted the holy name. That is necessary. And you have done things which is favorable for Krishna consciousness. None of these things will be lost. None of them will be lost. Because all these things will go with you. If you ask me whether you go back and back to Godhead, I can't say anything about it. But one thing is guaranteed. What is that? All you can do in this life is to develop that spiritual culture inside us through the path of Vedic process. Why? Because this vasana, as it says, all this absorption in Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Salsangam, Holy Name, all these things will develop strongly. It will never be lost. It will go to the next life, wherever it may be, whatever it may be. And that is never lost. That guarantee Krishna has given. That is what is discussed in the Brahma Sutra. That question, that is why this question came up. That suppose I leave this body and if I lose everything here, next life I start again. Because sometimes people think like this, that, oh, I have done so many sinful things, I'll get another body. Maybe, if you have done sinful things, you may get a body. But if this vasana is there in you, whatever you have, time you have invested in Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, it will create some vasanas inside and that vasana will never leave. It will remain there. So that much guarantee is there. That's all we can say about our life today. We can't say anything more than that. Nobody can give you a guarantee that you'll go back home back to Godhead. That it's not a contract like that. That is in Krishna's hands. Suppose by Krishna's grace everything went very well in spiritual life and you were able to stay in this world itself, get liberated, dehastobina dehasta. If that stage comes, that's another thing. But that may or may not happen, who knows. But Krishna's point is that whatever you have acquired here from this understanding of Bhagavad Gita, and Srimad Bhagavatam, and also the chanting the holy name. All these things you are adding on to that spiritual culture inside. Our vasanas inside will get heavy with them, with those thoughts, rather than the mundane thoughts. That's the important thing. So similarly, if we do nonsense, equally applicable also. That also won't go away. It will also come with us. Isn't it? And you can't throw it away. That's what I'm saying. You can't throw it away. So you may think, oh, nobody else has seen, I can do it. Others will not know about it. That won't work here. Because it will stay inside as a vasana. Okay, everything we will carry with us. That's the most important thing. And nothing will be left here. Everything will go with us. So it will all remain in the causal body. Karana Shariram, it's called. Because Karana Shariram is the bag that we take with us. Some of them we will lock up in the cabinet, in the almirah. And some of them we will keep it, which you can see. Normally that's how things are, isn't it? Some valuable things we keep it in the almirah. Some of the things which we can access to. And they give this example that certain things you keep it in the cabinet, certain things you keep it on the table, certain things you wear on your body. So similarly, sthula shariram is the one what we wear. Sushma shariram is the one what we keep it, which you can observe. Karana shariram is the one where you store everything. These three things, sthulam, sushmam, karanam. Gross body, subtle body and the causal body. in these three places we exist. So, the clothes what you are wearing, that's prarabdham. Already you got it, you're wearing it. And the clothes what you have kept ready for changing on the table or in the, that's your sushmam, shayyam, which you're keeping it there. No. So, and what is kept in the cabinet is the, in your wardrobe, ready for occasions to wear, that is sanjidam. In the prarabdham, prarabdham, agamam, sanjidam, three things, isn't it? So, three bodies we have got, isn't it? Karana shariram. Karana shariram is what we have got in sushupti state. In sushupti state it is karana shariram. Sushma shariram is what we have got in the dream state, supnam. And jagrat is our gross body, stula shariram, isn't it? So, we mentioned this before also, children who are born in the early days, up to 7, 8 years old, they will sleep a lot, isn't it? They sleep a lot, 10 to 20 hours they can sleep, because their bag is full, what they brought from the previous life. And little by little, this karana shariram, what is in the bag, it gets transferred to sushma shariram and then later on into stula shariram. That's how what happens. While sleeping, all the files get transferred from the bag, that karana shariram what has come with us, into our sushma shariram and then later on into stula shariram, gross body. So it will start manifesting in the subtle body as well as in the gross body. So more and more it starts manifesting, get older, that these things start manifesting in the gross and subtle body, you will lose your sleep. That's what happens to old age. You can see this. How sleep is not important anymore when you get to the very old age. You want to sleep, but there is no sleep. Sleep doesn't come. The main reason for that is that all the files have been mostly transferred. What has to happen in this body has already happened. All the different vasanas that has come to sushma shariram, lot of them have already manifested through the stula shariram, gross body. And therefore there is nothing much left in the karana shariram. And therefore there is not much sleep either. We are just thinking, oh, why I am not getting sleep like the way I was getting the sleep when you were 8 years or 10 years. When you didn't know anything, you played the whole day and went to bed at about 8 or 9. And in the morning, right up to 8 o'clock, you could sleep. Even somebody wakes up, you don't want to get up. Such a good sleep you had. And now, what? Now you can't even sleep 1 or 2 hours. By then you wake up with some other thoughts comes in and you're up again. Why is that? Although you do more work now, you can't get the... Whereas in the child, you just played. Isn't it? 7, 8 years old, what else did you do? Except playing, 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 playing. Never satisfied with playing. Balastaval krida sakta, that's all. And played and got and slept well. And now, no sleep. So, the thing is this, that the more the sleep is getting reduced, you can also see the mind also becomes bigger. Mind becomes very big. And this, what we call as mind, is nothing but the subtle body. The subtle body is what we call as mind. And that manifests in the form of thoughts and emotions. So that I mentioned before also, that the children, when they are very babies, they look very beautiful, isn't it? They look very beautiful. And even the child is not very beautiful, like look like a monkey, but still, if it is a little boy, still we can accept that the child, some beauty in him, isn't it? Why? Because his sushma shariram, the subtle body, has not become big yet. That's why that beauty. When it's a little baby, when it sleeps and wakes up, it looks very fresh in the face and looks beautiful. But even when he grows up, a little boy, 5, 6, 7 years old, still even if he's not very beautiful, still he looks attractive. As a boy, he looks still attractive. Or a little girl, doesn't matter. He's still attractive. But after a while, when we have grown up a lot, 50, 60 years old, if you look at the person, you just don't want to look anymore to each other. Because why is that? Because the Sushma Shariram has grown so big inside. And although there is a Karana Shariram, causal body inside, Sushma Shariram has as much as it's growing, and Karana Shariram is diminishing. Karana Shariram is shrinking. Sushma Shariram is growing. Sushma Shariram is going. So along with that, your sleep also goes away, comes down. So when by the time you get middle age, you start sleeping, you say 6-7 hours is enough. We make this statement, isn't it? How many hours we should sleep? It's always this discussion in the newspaper. Doctor will say one thing, scientist will say something else. And then you yourself will make some judgment that I need 7 hours sleep or 8 hours sleep, things like that, isn't it? So, science has its own commentary on all these things. it's not very much contradicting to these things, because science, even if you explain it from the position of the matter, because science explains from the position of the matter, isn't it, not from the spiritual side, matter is also nothing but spirit. It's only spirit. Only thing is, when you explain in the level of spirit, it is very sushma, very subtle. When you explain in the form of matter, it is thulam, it's very gross. That's all. That's why many things, when we talk in the level of science, people are able to relate with that, because it's spoken more on a gross level. So we'll continue.
चेदोदर्पणमर्जनं वो महादावाग्निनिर्वापणं श्रेयःकैतवचन्द्रिका वितरणं विद्यावधू जीवनं आनन्दाम्बुदिवर्धनं प्रतिपद पूर्णामृतास्वादनं सर्वात्मा सुवनं वरं विजयते श्रीकृष्णसङ्कीर्तनं नाम्नामकारि बहुधा निज सर्वशक्ति तत्रार्पिता निमिता स्मरणेन काला एतादृशी तव कृपा भगवान् ममावि दुर्दैवमीदृशमिहा जनिनानुरागां तृणारविशनी चेन तरोरभि सहिष्णुन अमानिना मानदेन कीर्तनीय सदा हरिं न जनं न सुन्दरीं कविदां वा जगदीशकामयी मम जन्मनि जन्मनीश्वरी भवदाद्भक्तिरहयी दुहि त्वयि ऐ नन्दनुजकिङ्करं परिरामं शमीभवम्बुदो कृपया तव पादपङ्कजस्थितदौली सदृशं चिन्तयाशोधारयया गिरा पुलकैर्निजितं कदावभू मम ग्रहणे भविष्यति शुषा प्राविशायुधं शून्यायुधं जगल् सर्वं गोविन्दमिरहे न मे पादरदां विनिष्टुमम् अदर्शनां मर्महदां करोतु वा यथा तदा वा विदधातुलम्बडो माधास्तुमेव नाथनाम् सो वि शुडन्ट् गेट् सोरि Yeah, talking about this verse, Mamaivamsho Jivaloke, it's an important verse. And the more clear that verse is, it will make this everything a lot easier. This chapter is particularly difficult chapter, because a lot of things Krishna is going to say in the next few verses is also in relationship with Purushottama. Purushottama means Atma. And there you will see this. Like we mentioned, that the child sleeping for many hours in the baby's stage, when he grows up, he loses his sleep. Now, that is spoken from the Shastra point of view, from spiritual side. The reason for that is because of the transfer of the files from the Karana Shariram to Sushma Shariram. And because Sushma Shariram becomes bigger, then there is no more sleep necessary. Karana Shariram is the one which demands sleep for the body. The same thing, science will say to us that you need more sleep when you are a child to grow. That is explaining from a very gross level. You see, science is explaining from a very gross level. That's why they tell us that when you are a little baby, you need to sleep, get sleep, lot of sleep to grow, they say. But Shastram says to us, it's not for the growth that you are sleeping.
Sleep is because only if you sleep, it is that during the sleeping time only, this karana shariram will shrink and sushma shariram will expand. This happens. It is that is more important for the shastram, not whether the body grows or not. That's not important for the shastram. Body it will grow in any way, whether there is you sleep or not. So you can see how people look at things. From the Vedantam is explaining to us that due to the karma shariram's shrinking and the expansion of the sushma shariram, that this sleeping is happening, long hours of sleep is happening. But when the sushma shariram has become big, you don't need that sleep anymore. That's the reason the old age, you don't need so much of sleep. You don't need it. Because by then, sushma shariram has grown big enough. And sushma shariram has become very powerful. Karana shariram has become very weak by then. So, karana shariram has become thin. Then we shouldn't worry about it, that I'm not getting enough sleep in the old age, isn't it? That power which has actually put you into sleep for many hours when you were a little baby, that very power won't allow you to sleep when you get old. That's the way it is. It is in the control of Prakriti. Prakriti is controlling that. It is not in our hands. Doctors will try to... Then we start thinking, oh, I'm not getting enough sleep, so I should take more sleeping pills or things like that. And to thinking that by providing more sleep, I will be better off. No, you won't. It won't be like that. The reason Krishna is... This is the subtle side of it, that you don't need that amount of sleep when you have come to that age in life. So, if you remember this much, that the same power, which is Prakriti, Yadevi Sarvabhudeshu Nidrarubena Samsthita, Namastase, 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 Namo Nama, that who puts us to sleep when we were a baby, it's the same power that they don't allow us to sleep when we get old. When we get old. So, if you don't sleep, you won't feel tired. How you feel tired is if you keep getting worried about it. Then you get tired. Oh, I didn't get enough sleep. I didn't get enough sleep in that way. So, if you don't get sleep, best thing is to stay awake and then chant the holy name or read Srimad Bhagavatam or engage in some activity like that. So, and enjoy the peace of the night, the solitude, and the otherwise whole day is busy with people and activity, isn't it? So, so that is why other times you won't get that peace, what you get at night, isn't it? So, four kinds of people don't sleep, you know that. Yogi, Bhogi, Drohi, Rohi. Yeah. So, none of them will sleep. Then only this, sleep. Yogi cannot sleep. Bhogi also cannot sleep. Drohi, one who gives trouble to others, they also cannot sleep. Yogi, one who is sick, he also cannot sleep. So, so karana shariram, the causal body, that bag is full. And so, why is it full? Because when we doing the karmam, various karmam, that karmam, a part of that, goes into that causal body, amsham, called amsham of that. Amsham means a part of that, goes there. So we call it as a bag, isn't it? So that's what it is. So that's why they call it as sanji. Sanji means sanjayam. Sanjayam means to collect things and put it in a bag, that's called a sanji. Therefore it's called sanjidam. That karmam is called sanjidam. So keeping this bag, carrying this bag, is jiva going into the next body. Is going into the next body. So, after he gets into the next body, what he does is, he takes his bag and start taking out things one after the other from that bag. So, sometimes you can see this. When you see some children, you will be amazed by certain things. Like for example, how this vasana comes out in them. Father has no taste for the music. Father has no taste for the music, but he has no idea, clue about what music is. But he has got a son who is very musical. So much taste for the music. Where did that come from? It has not come from the father. It has come from the bag. They say DNA, RNA and all that. But that's all new things. What they are putting it in a more technical way. They are trying to explain all this. But these things are known to the rishis long ago. They knew that. That didn't come from the father. That come from the karma sharira vasana it is. That is what that vasana. That has come and it has come out. So he has taken out from the bag. That's all. So many things like this. Karana Shariram, both we carry with us. Karana Shariram which shrinks and becomes very shrunk. Sushma Shariram which has grown big. Both of them, Jiva will carry to the next life. Jiva will carry to the next life. This is transmigration of the soul, what we are talking about. You see, other people, you know, the some ordinary people I'm talking about, those who have not studied seriously anything, those who are just a little bit of religion here and there, they're taking it like that. They will always think, they ask you this question, oh, in your religion, you keep changing your body, don't you? They keep asking, in a very ignorant way, their questions will come from them. So the important thing to remember here is that what goes on transmigrating is not you. What's going on is these two bags and the jiva. That's what is transmigrating. Only then it will agree with the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna is saying there. Yeah. One side Krishna is saying, Najayade Namriyade. That is the absolute state, perfection. But on the other hand, Krishna is also saying, Jadasehi Dhruva Mrityu Dhruvam Janmamrtasecha. If you are dead, you have to take birth. How these two things will, completely contradicting statements have come. That is because of this. Because of this. That is why we have to accept that Jiva is the one who transmigrates, not Atma. Atma doesn't transmigrate. Atma has no birth, no death. Jiva is the one which is transmigrate. That is why we say, when you get self-realized, Jivatvam cannot exist anymore. You are freed from that. Bondage is over. Bondage is due to Jiva, not due to Atma. It's due to Jiva. And that second chapter, if you study well, you will see this, what is explained there in the second chapter. Immediately when Krishna started talking to Arjuna, first he spoke about the absolute nature of the soul, which cannot be bound by anything. Krishna says that in the Bhagavatam also. You cannot bind the soul anywhere. Who is bound then? Ajnanam is what is binding. Ajnanam is the cause of that. Ajnanam goes away, bondage is gone. So Krishna is saying now, this after all this Mamaivamsho Jivaloge words, if you properly scrutinize and analyze it within yourself, you can see finally that Jiva Bhavam, that experience of Jiva, what you are thinking, we are Jiva, I'm this body, I'm this mind, I'm this vasanas, what I have got, all these things which is in my subtle body present there, I will carry that with me and I will move into the next body as a Jiva. And these vasanas will come out from me at that time. And this is what is called Jiva. Who does this? Jiva does it. So you can see, Jiva creates ragadvesham. Jiva creates kartrutva bhoktrutva. Jiva identifies with everything. And Jiva carries you to the next body. Everything is Jiva. Everything is Jiva. Look at the next verse. Verse 8, isn't it? Shariram yadavapnoti
Shariram yadavapnoti
Yachap ulkramat ishwaraha
Yachap ulkramat ishwaraha
Grihitvaidani samyati
Grihitvaidani samyati
Vayurgandhani vashaya
Vayurgandhani vashaya
Shariram yadavapnoti
Shariram yadavapnoti
Yachap ulkramat ishwara
Yachap ulkramat ishwara
Grihitvaidani samyati
Grihitvaidani samyati
Vayurgandhani vashaya
Vayurgandhani vashaya
Shariram Yadavapnodi Echavi Ulkramatishwara Grihit Vaidhani Samyati Vayur Gandhani Vashayat. So here Krishna is saying that air, when the air moves, it carries the aroma of the flower with it, isn't it? And like the aroma of the flower moves from one place to another, Ishwaraha, here Jiva is called Ishwara. You see, Jiva is called here as Ishwara. He says, because Ishwara means one who controls, isn't it? One who controls. So that controlling nature, who is present inside us, Krishna is present inside us, Atma, but whom we call, who has become Jiva Bhutam, is Jiva Bhutam. Like when he is realized, he is Brahma Bhutam. When he is conditioned, he is called Jiva Bhutam. So in that Jiva Buddha state, he is present there and situated inside all of us as Jiva Bhutam. And Ishwara Sarva Bhudanam Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtavi Brahmayan Sarva Bhudani Yantra Rudhani Maya, which will come later on in the 18th chapter. So, sitting inside each one of us and controlling this machine, which is this body, and he is the driver. Krishna is the driver. And that is Ishwara. Ishwara is the driver who drives this body. So, suppose a person is sitting in a car as a driver. He has to drive the vehicle. But suppose I am sitting at the back seat and I start driving from the back seat. How it will work? So, original driver, Krishna is the driver. He is driving everybody. And he is the real driver. And therefore, he is Ishwaraha. If it is not like that, it will not agree with the other words. Which one? Prahrude kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. Everything Krishna is driving this vehicle. Krishna is driving the vehicle. So even as Jiva, when we are doing things, Krishna is still driving the car. Krishna is Jiva at that time as driving this car. It appears to us Jiva is doing everything. But in reality, Krishna is behind it. Krishna is behind it. So that is why Jiva Bhuda, Ishwara is Jiva Bhutam. That like Brahma Bhutam, he has become Jiva Bhutam. So the Ishwara whom you see as Jiva Bhutam inside us, and if you give your attention to it, finally you will realize that this Ishwara who is inside as Jiva Bhutam, he is nothing but Paramatma himself. And that is when Jivatma, identity of Jivatma has gone, and identification as Paramatma or Antaryami comes from inside. Sometimes we say that, to my mind, I identify with that. When I am identified with my mind, I'll say, I feel that to my mind, I'll say like that, isn't it? So that means that somewhere you are able to give your attention. You start thinking about it, that whom I am referring to, me inside. At that time, you are not identifying with the body. You are identifying separately from that, isn't it? So, anything what we acquire through this body, whatever activities we perform, whatever we acquire it through the body, or whatever we get rid of from the body, which means that in our identity with the mind and the body, whatever vasanas we have acquired here through the body and the mind, or whatever vasanas we have thrown away from through the body and the mind, all of them, that karana shariram will hold on to that still. Shariram, that is what Krishna is saying there. Shariram yadavapmodi yasmabi ulkramandi yachabi ulkramandi. That means he keeps things what he collects. Shariram, whatever he collects, he keeps it inside. Shariram yad avapnodi, Krishna says there.
whatever he collects through the body and the mind, he will keep it in the karana shariram. Shariram yad avapnoti. Then he says, yachabi ulkramanti. See, many things, vasanas, what he will throw away from himself by engaging in karma. You get exhausted also, vasanas. Is it not? Vasanas, you see, the whole Varnashrama Dharma principle is based on this. Then if you have Kshatriya Vasana, like Arjuna, Krishna told Arjuna to fight. Why did he say to him to fight? He says, you have this Kshatriya Vasana inside, it should go. Get rid of it by fighting it. If you don't fight, it will disturb you, your other life. Rest of the life, you will be disturbed by that. Therefore, Krishna encouraged Arjuna to fight. So that is what it says here, that Yachabi Ulkramandi. Ulkramandi means what you push out from your nature. In Swabhav, all the vasanas is called Swabhav, isn't it? So in our Swabhavam, there are various vasanas. If you are able to remove the vasanas from inside by engaging in that karma, what is necessary to get rid of the vasanas will give. That is what Krishna is saying here. Yachabi Ulkramandi. Ulkramandi, it says there. Isn't it? And so what Shariram creates, vasanas, goes into Karana Shariram, gets stored there. What body throws away by engaging in karmam, that vasana that goes away, echabi ulkramat ishvara. And that both are done by Ishvara, which is in the form of Jiva here. Which is in the form of Jiva. Grihita idani samyadi vayur gandhani vashayat. He says that that is the way it works, and he mentions that so Ishvara, who is in the form of Jiva Bhutam, Ishvara, who is in the form of Jiva Bhutam, taking the help of the mind and the senses. What does that mean? Taking the help of the mind and senses means when you perform an action, from that action so many things comes out. One, your gross result. A gross result. That is the gross side. The second side is the subtle vasana that's created from that. The mind and the senses, with the help of that, the karana shariram accept the sushma side of the action. That means, from all your, for example, just to give you an example, say you are engaged in some business activity. It generated a lot of profit. So the gross result is the profit. Gross result. What is the subtle result? Subtle result is, that karma what you have performed, it has created some vasana inside you. Some vasana, whichever way it is, it has generated inside. That vasana is the subtle side of it. Every karma has a gross side and a subtle side. So the subtle side, in order to get that subtle side, mind is necessary. Mind and the senses come collectively, collect the vasana and transfer it to the subtle, causal body. Transfer it to the causal body. That is why grihitva, Krishna uses the word grihitva. Grihitva means acquiring those, extracting the vasana from the karma. Karma bhalam. Karma performed, when the result comes, extracting the vasana separately from that is called grihitva. Grihitva, Krishna says here, grihitva, grihitvani tani samyadi. How? Like the, and then taking that sushma amsham, that subtle aspect of it, he goes into the, he migrates into the next body. He performs the migration into the next body. Grihitvani etani samyadi. How? Like the wind. When gets, we can't see the wind, but if you look in a very subtle level, it can see that air is transporting different things. Isn't it? Through the air it carries leaves sometimes. In the cyclone it carries many things, much more bigger things. So so at least in the when the air carries, you can see something, what it is carrying. But here even you can't see that, what it's carrying to the next body. So ordinary people, they can't see with their eyes, but Krishna can see. That is why it's mentioned there that Echab Ulkramat Ishvara. Krishna is used, address there is Ishvara there. Because in the Jiva form, it is Ishvara who is present there.
Ishvara is present there. So, we will stop there today. It is now 1:45. So, we'll just sing Damodara Ashtakam today. God glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Jai.